The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Randy, off the internet.
No! No, come on! Leave me alone! But Sharon, I got stuff to do! I gotta see my credit rating, and I gotta send an email to Nelson and check out Foley's vacation photos.
You don't have to do all that now. You can do one more thing, and then it's bedtime.
One more thing?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
Paul Perillo.
Mom, tell them. Tell them I'm not fat, I'm just big bone. Tell them all the stories about how everyone in your family was big as a child and then groomed their bodies.
Oh, sweetie, those were all lies. You're just fat.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm a pretty bad kid.
Really? What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I stole the head off a statue once.
Andy Hart.
Wow, that's pretty hardcore. That's like this one time when I didn't like a kid, so I ground his parents up into chili and fed it to him.
Eric Scalavino.
I'm not going to be confused anymore just because you say I should be. My name is Butter. I'm 8 years old, I'm blood type O, and I'm bi-curious.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
What?
You've been on your computer all weekend. Shouldn't you go out and socialize with your friends?
I am socializing, Art Hard. I'm logged on to an MMORPG with people from all over the world and getting XP with my party using TeamSpeak.
I'm not an Art Hard.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
And that's one of my favorite opens.
What?
I like that open.
And I should say, one of the most popular podcasts and shows on online radio. We just got the...
Anywhere.
We just got the numbers from Akamai. And
what was the other one, Paul?
They're astronomical.
They're borderline unbelievable.
So unless...
And we need to thank you, the listeners.
Yes, we do.
Isn't that what the real radio stations
yes.
do?
Yes, not just for lunch,
you know,
but
terrestrial
for listening.
Radio.
And from what I...
No, after they have the big ratings bonus come in and
do
you
get
the big bump.
Bonus?
Do we? Yeah, by the way, do we get a ratings bonus?
You get to work here in 2012.
Okay, so we got that going
for
us.
Can I order an appetizer with my lunch today? Is that my bonus?
Well... I don't know if Kevin's
not feeding
ordering.
His whole family.
Yeah. No, but the numbers came out, and obviously we got a big boost because of the Super Bowl. So
yeah, but the Super Bowl was only the first three shows of the month.
No, but it leads up all the playoffs and leading up to the Super Bowl. You get a boost when you're one of the few teams
and then
left
coming
playing.
Off the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Well,
we had.
Coming off the Super Bowl back in 07, everybody, you know, put their pod away and wouldn't listen. Remember?
This time
they actually listened.
Yeah,
it proves the major difference between those two losses.
Yeah. So, another big show, the Pete Shepherd show following the Super Bowl, the Tuesday after the Super Bowl, huge numbers.
He showed up. The highest rated Pete Shepherd show
ever,
and last,
and could be the last,
and maybe he has us to thank for the fact that now I guess he's going back to WEEI.
Amazing story.
So that's great stuff. And
he's done nothing but rip them for years.
You're welcome, Pete.
Taking them back.
Yeah, you're welcome, Pete. For
unbelievable.
So I like to know that Patriots.com radio was used as a springboard by people to
just not us,
you know.
How come it hasn't worked for us?
You're already there. You're at the pinnacle, you know, the apex.
Pinnacle doesn't pay as well as I thought it would.
The Pantheon.
To paraphrase Fred, if this is the pinnacle, I don't know. There's got to be something else out there.
Eric's just looking bored. What's the matter, Eric?
I'm all right. I'm not all right.
You look very pensive.
I'm not feeling too well right now.
No?
No.
All that film work?
Why don't you leave then? Because I've been healthy. I don't need to be getting sick. What do you got?
You've been healthy.
Butt end, mouth yep. end. What's going on here?
Stomach's not feeling too good.
Okay, yeah. Go away. My stomach.
Well, you got a big lunch
lately.
Staring at you too.
I know. I don't really have an appetite for it right
put
now.
One of those. That's over okay. To, why don't you
pass it over
it
to Andy?
No, not if he's breathing. Put one of those Chinese masks on.
All right. So we got enough of the back.
Always concerned.
The back padding out of the way.
More than anything.
Peyton Manning.
Obviously, this is the big news, and you know. We talked about it yesterday. As much as we knew it was coming, it's still weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still weird to think that Peyton Manning is a free agent.
Probably the greatest free agent of all time.
Yeah, maybe.
Bigger than LeBron?
Yeah, he's one.
Yeah. So, so we're going to talk about that. They had the press conference yesterday in Indy with Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning, which I'm a little bit surprised that they were able to do this together. Testament to both of them, I guess, the way both of them have handled it. And, you know, also just shows how obvious this decision was.
Right.
You know, it there was only one decision that Irsay could make, and Manning had to understand that, and I'm sure that he knows that when his playing days are officially over, he's going to make his post-career revenue back in Indianapolis.
He can still be mayor of Indy someday.
Right, so you don't want to burn that bridge.
Even though he lives in Florida.
Well, he might be mayor of Miami if he wins the Super Bowl there.
He lives pretty much everywhere, though. I mean, he has places everywhere.
But, I mean, if he wants to go back, he could run that city.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a part owner of, what's that other one?
Harry and Izzy's.
Yeah.
So...
So,
what'd you think? What was your take from the press conference? Say, not necessarily the words, but did you think it was legit? Do you think it was genuine?
The emotion,
on both sides.
All the emotion.
Yeah, because I think Manning, when he really sits back and thinks about it, he knows he would have to do the same thing.
No, but I'm talking about, you know, Irsay being sort of
broken up
by the whole thing, and Manning, you know, obviously was. Very emotional.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty legit on both sides. I thought they were both genuine.
Yeah, I do too.
I think Irsay is a bit of a clown.
Right.
I think with his tweets and his rebel without a cause persona that he tries to, you know, put out there.
I think if there was
I think he was being legit yesterday, and I think without question, Peyton Manning is.
I think if there was
him and Brady are so similar in so many different ways, like they just always do the right thing.
I think
it's unbelievable.
I think if there was one side of that of those two that were laying it on maybe a little thicker, it would be Irsay because
he was the one that had
to make a cold business decision,
and he can't alienate Peyton Manning fans because that's his fans,
right? But in that decision, emotionally, you have to create a little separation. You know, you can't use emotion. And so I think he had already done that. And then I think he let the emotion come back for that event. But I think the moment he left that stage and said goodbye to Peyton Manning, he's thinking about 2012 and drafting Andrew Luck and all that stuff.
Well, he has to.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's the good of the
that's
team.
What
he
I mean.
Has to. Yeah.
That's what I mean. But Peyton, I think this is going to linger for him a little bit. I mean, yeah, he's looking forward to now, but.
Well, he's the one with the change.
Well,
Irsay doesn't have a huge change.
Right.
I mean, his quarterback will be different. But it's the same. Peyton Manning will live in a different place, put on a different color jersey.
Yeah, but Manning knows he's going to make money. Irsay has to worry about.
He's already made.
I mean, I think they're so.
Right. I mean, does Peyton Manning need money?
No, he doesn't need money.
But if Andrew Luck sucks, they're in trouble.
But Irsay has to do the same exact thing that he already did. The same exact thing he's going to do with Andrew Luck in 2 months or a month, 1 month. He just talked about yesterday doing with Manning.
Right.
You know, when Manning was the 22-year-old kid from Tennessee and he had a
command
and they had these dreams together and they, you know, it was like music playing in the background.
I think the one that has the bigger doubt is Manning. A, health-wise, but B, just change of scenery, new organization.
Yeah.
I mean, he has been in the same place with the same coaches essentially forever. Same. It was his show. Even though he's in control of
it's
picking
not a
where
money
goes,
concern for Manning, but it's
total
it's,
change.
Yeah, yeah, he's got all this stuff.
Yeah,
is
money's
different.
Probably
and he,
on the
don't
bottom
forget,
of the list.
He's got to make the choice too, and then he's always going to wonder, would I have been better off if I had gone to Arizona instead of Miami or Houston instead of Denver? Yeah. Whatever. I mean, he's always going to wonder. He has it's amazing. 12 teams reportedly have contacted him already. I think as many as 7 of them are on the record as saying, we contacted him. I mean, that's unbelievable. He's not even available yet.
Well, why not?
He is now.
Yeah.
4:00.
Yeah.
But
I mean, why wouldn't you contact him, and why wouldn't you to know that you contacted him?
No, I think that should be legitimately, like 26 teams should be kicking the tires.
Yeah.
I mean, we're one of a very, very small handful of teams that I don't think really even has any need to make the call. But I wouldn't.
Use a backup.
I wouldn't eliminate Green Bay. I mean, seriously. I know that Florio did
imagine
this.
That. Yeah. If he's still not, you know, he said he's not completely healthy yet. He still has progress to make. Well, okay. Well, in the time being,
plus Brady's got a bad left shoulder.
Right.
Cover your bases.
Imagine you get the platoon, the two of them, send him Brady out for one series.
Oh,
Manning
Spurrier, that'd be awesome.
Steve Spurrier running him on and off the field. You know?
That'd be awesome. You know, you have Manning in the red zone because he can't throw it more than 20 yards.
Right.
I would like, did you see that Eli restructured? I think that'd be the great conspiracy theory, is everybody thinks he wants to be a starter. He's happy to just go be a backup to Eli.
I won my titles.
Right, seriously.
No, but the Giants would be one. The Patriots. Mm. Green Bay.
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago should absolutely be interested.
You think New Orleans would be interested?
Absolutely.
I think they should be.
I think New Orleans probably won't be interested in him because, you know, well, depending on how pissed off Drew Brees might be, but assuming that he's not that pissed off.
The only thing about a guy,
there's really only like five teams that should not have any interest in him at all.
The only thing about a team like Chicago where they may not is, Cutler isn't our guy of the future, but neither would Manning be. So do we want to tie up a lot of money in Manning and not leave ourselves open to the option of, if we have an ability to get the next franchise guy, well, we can't because now we're hooked our card up to Manning.
That's all irrelevant if you have a ring on your finger.
Yeah.
I mean, you're signing Manning to get a ring.
You would be getting rid of Cutler. I mean, you're not going to bring him in, you know.
Absolutely.
I think it's unlikely, though, that Chicago...
Wait a minute. I'm not talking about the likely factor. I'm talking about
the
amount of teams that should have interest in him.
And Andy said it best. Don't even look at the teams that are close to winning it, because if you put Manning on that roster, they automatically...
They're all close.
If he's healthy. Obviously, this is all with the caveat, if he's healthy, they're all close then.
Just like if you put Brady on one of those teams or Rodgers on one of those teams. They're all instant contenders.
So you can't look at where they are now in terms of being close. They become exponentially closer once Manning gets on the roster.
Especially some of the places, like the AFC/NFC West.
Right.
Layup. Put him in the playoffs. Whatever team gets him, layup for the playoffs.
And that's why I don't think he's looking at it that way. He's looking at what's the best situation for me.
Yeah. As he should be.
Yeah. Because, as you just said, wherever I go, I'm good enough that I'm going to make them a contender.
Exactly.
So now... All the other stuff. Where's my wife going to be happiest? What's the best schools for my kids?
Oh, God forbid you think that, according to Mike Felger, the douchebag on Real Radio. I mean, he literally was ripping Manning because of the comment from Dungy that it's not just the Super Bowl, it's about the best situation. Well, you know what, a-hole? That's what good men do, who have families and wives and children who pick a job. They decide what's the best all-around situation.
And when you're
for
that good, you know the team's going to be good.
This isn't,
James Sanders.
Why are you going to take a shot at James
Sanders? That's not a shot. I
bet you James Sanders would care about the overall situation.
Just so you know, Eric took it as a shot.
A player of his ilk, very physical
look on his face.
But he makes any team great, and he should think about his family.
Right.
Felger probably would not, because he only thinks about one person, Felger. And that's why he's a bad person.
Oh, jeez.
Was that not true?
That's
I don't
true.
Know. I
that's
think
true.
He's,
fact,
why
not
is he
opinion,
a bad person?
As he would say. Because he only thinks about himself.
I don't even know that. But
yeah,
I do.
I do.
He's got kids and a family. And,
right.
Yeah.
Doesn't see them, doesn't like them, doesn't spend much time with them.
Okay, I don't know that. Do you know that?
Yes, I do know that.
Okay.
He's working 24 hours a day. How could he spend any time with them?
Oh, that doesn't,
he believes,
I mean, I, doesn't mean I don't
the
like
man
the
believes
guy.
You
I mean,
should only celebrate birthdays every other year so you don't have to worry about buying the presents every year and stuff like that.
Christmas also should.
He's a bad human being.
Should be every other year.
I'm not saying he's like Hitler bad, but in terms of just normal bad people,
no. I mean,
he's self-centered.
I like the guy, but he's not exactly, you know, in terms of his personal preferences, that I couldn't have any less in common with
that
him.
That person who emailed in to the Ustream, Randy Moss, who wanted Moss to tell everybody that Felger is a douchebag, was right. That's the fact.
That was pretty funny.
That was pretty funny.
I got much love for you, Felger.
Oh, you a Boston radio guy or something?
Can you do Moss? You do the impersonations.
I have done a little bit of.
Because that would be a good one if you could perfect that one.
Hell no, dog. I know this Felger dude.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah. You should go on Ustream
because he has a very
distinctive. Didn't like him neither.
He has a very distinctive twang. I mean, I know
he's got a
southern
West Virginia
twang, but he
type
has
of
a very distinctive. Like, you hear him, and you know it's Moss.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Felger.
Felger.
That's what he says.
It's fail. There's no L in there. Yeah. There's no L in there, Paul. It's like Paul Perel.
Good,
give me a break.
Good. Patriots stuff. Really nothing.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Nothing going on. No, I mean, you know, you
draft.
Eric has started to watch some film.
Yes.
Gotten through the defense.
My eyes are starting to fall out a little bit.
You're not done with all the positions yet? You've been down there for 3 days.
I barely got through the defense this week.
Jeez.
Didn't I tell you, Andy, my goal was to get it done before April?
Yeah, but you need to
be honest. I'm well ahead of my goal.
All the time you spend flirting with Lindsay probably cuts down on the viewing.
She's not feeling too well today either.
Gee, I wonder why. Because you've been sitting next to her trying to suck her face.
Oh, boy.
He just ripped Mike Felger for being a bad person.
I know.
He takes it to a good point, Fred.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. That is the baseline definition of a bad person.
It's one of the things.
Gratuitous shots makes you a bad person.
It's low on the list.
No, it's not.
Not caring about your wife and kids is much higher on the list.
Well, it depends on what they're like. They could be jerks.
Okay, apparently you're a bad person, too.
They could be jerks.
Tell you what, though, Paul.
What's with the Michigan State kick with you?
If I was going home to the wood every day, I'd spend a lot of time there.
Wow, that's a little. It's a guy's wife.
Very
creepy. That's kind of
creepy.
Doesn't matter.
It's the father of his children.
I think he's a D-bag.
I mean, mother
so
of
doesn't
his
matter. This. Oh, my sister.
I know she goes there, but you've been like really.
The player she was doing gave him the hat.
Now that's worse than what he just said. What is going on here?
They're playing in the tournament, the Big Ten tournament.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
In Indy,
wearing my stuff in Indy. Yeah, could have gone back.
Haven't spent enough time there, Eric.
All right. So, do we have any?
It has been a week and a half since I've been
other
in
than
Indy.
Trying to figure out who they might draft.
And news?
No, not really news.
Well, they popped up at all these pro days and stuff.
Right.
I mean, which isn't news.
That's
if they didn't,
news.
It would be news.
Yeah.
Why aren't they?
Why aren't they at there? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of kind of factoids, I thought it was interesting that Ryan Mallett actually threw the ball for the Arkansas receivers
at the pro
the
day
Arkansas
there.
Pro day.
Yeah. Coming up, we'll be having the Patriots Today crew at the BC and UConn Pro Days.
Ooh.
So,
Kendall Reyes.
Yeah. So, yeah, UConn.
So
yeah.
We'll have that stuff on Patriots.com as we get closer to the draft. We've got a lot of stuff. We'll be releasing all the film that you've been watching on Patriots.com.
It's actually a little bit better than in past years. We have the... You know, in past years, we've had some of the top guys not represented in the video. We have pretty much every top player, at least on the defensive side so far, I've seen every top player.
Could you pour me?
Except for maybe, I think, Luke Kuechly, we didn't have video of.
I don't care about him.
And
Fred's looking at you like, I've never heard that name before in my
life. The top inside linebacker
right,
in the draft.
Right.
Went to Boston College, won the Buckus Award.
He played a half hour up here.
And there might have been one other, but for the most part,
and no one knows him.
We have good video. It's all about anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes.
I was watching a little
it's
Dante Hightower.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not pro day stuff. I'm talking about game
actual
film.
Little hesitant.
I'm not in love with him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an impact.
You know? Now, I think he's versatile.
Certainly
I think
is.
He can do a lot of different things.
He looks, any spot at linebacker,
right.
Bill would want him
I think he's versatile. But
right. But you want
not,
an impact.
Not explosive.
You want an impact. Right.
Yeah.
Not the
yeah.
explosive.
I'm with you, Fred.
Yeah. I like Paul fell in love at the Combine with two of the names that have been most closely associated with New England thus far. Whitney Merciless. No, we already fell in love with that a long time ago.
Well, this was the first time Paul fell in love with it.
Well, not filet mignon.
Just St. Elmo's. But Whitney Merciless, I know the one-year wonder thing scares some people, but
love him.
You know, Jason Pierre-Paul was also a one-year wonder in college.
Little different.
Little different, I know, but still.
He's actually Haitian, though. You know.
Yes.
Merciless.
Oh, Merciless.
Yeah.
Is.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't think born in Haiti, but
no, his parents came
descent.
Here, and he said. Don't ask me when, because I don't know. Exactly.
But I find that interesting, the one-year wonder Haitian connection.
Mm-hmm. Haitian sensation.
Which is another reason to fear him, because how many of those are going to work out?
His parents came here, and he spent his whole... he was born in the United States.
Right.
And your boy Melvin Ingram.
Yeah, he's
South
awesome.
Carolina.
Love him.
Liked his tape.
Okay.
Love both of those
And those
guys.
Are names that are often in mock drafts that we've seen so far. I mean, it's really early still for mock drafts. I know.
Now, and I was also watching little Matt Khalil from USC. Khalil.
Yes.
And I was impressed with him. And here's what I liked about
him. Why were you watching tape on him?
I don't know. They
Are you just YouTubing, guys?
Yeah.
I think so.
But
you're our lads.
Go, you know what I'm going to do?
Your our lads thing has been down here for the past
I know,
week, though, too.
But
so.
I noticed that now. A lot of it is a competition, so you have to take that into consideration. But when he was playing a speed rusher, a guy that liked to get a little space between him and then make a move, Khalil had the feet that were quick enough that he could cut off that angle. And then he was very patient about when he did his first punch, and he seemed to be able to time that first punch always at the right time. So he just would put the guy off balance just when he was about to make his move.
He's very
and
good.
He wouldn't be able to do that unless he had the quick feet. Mm-hmm. And he does. For a guy, you know, for a guy his size, he has very quick feet.
And he'll be playing for one of the other 31 teams in the league, not this one.
He's going to go very high, right?
Yeah, he'll be playing for one of about four teams. Well, the top four of the draft.
Stud. But I mean,
he's a stud.
He's not going to be playing here, unfortunately.
He could be a guy the Rams take too if they don't, for some reason, end up trading it. Him or Blackmon. They could have a franchise left tackle or a franchise receiver. I mean, he's a top three pick. Mm. Yeah. He could have been a number one overall pick in a year without a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. They could make a big leap if they handle this right.
Sure.
The Rams. Yeah.
You know, put a lot of pressure on my boy, though.
But if you end up...
Cut away all the excuses.
If you can pick up a couple of draft picks and, you know, you slide down, you know, if you can get trade with someone that's pretty close, you know, like 5, 6, so you end up picking up, you know, a second or something else.
Well, they want 3-1. Well, 2-1s.
But I mean in this draft. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, there's only so many ones that.
But there's teams.
They want
teams
a
have.
One this year. The
they
one
want
this
to
year
swap and, ones this year right. and two more.
Two
first
more
round
after
picks
that?
To move into the, because you're getting a franchise quarterback.
So if you could get, like you said, Justin Blackmon, let's say he pans out, obviously, and you end up getting an extra second round pick or, you know, another, you know, first round pick probably in the future. If you can take advantage of those picks, we know they're not that bad of a team. 2 years ago, they were on the rise. You know, they were a 7-9 team on the rise, and it all bottomed out last year with a ton of injuries. But if you can sort of put the pieces back together there, get a new coach, you know, I don't know what the situation with Greg Williams is going to be, if that's going to hurt them, you know, significantly.
They should plan for the season without him.
They could be all right.
Yeah. Unless Peyton Manning joins the division.
Yeah, and then, you know, and Justin Blackmon turns out to be a, you know, overrated stiff, and you take him.
He's definitely overrated. Because I see a lot of people are sliding him into two, because some people don't believe in the you don't forecast trades in your mock draft. You just go with whatever's there now.
Why did that be
if
crazy?
If he goes two, that's so grossly overdrafted.
That would be like
the
what the Lions did. You know, oh, we're just going to take a wide receiver. He's not. It actually would be worse than the Lions, because I thought when the Lions took the wide receivers, there was an argument to be made that was the best guy available. And just that it happened to keep being a wide receiver. That's not the best guy available. And the Rams, let's face it, they have more needs than just receiver. It's just all
if you're
going to
take
guy.
Best guy available, I think Richardson's in that conversation. I think Richardson is a better running back than Blackmon is a wide receiver in terms of a
I think Khalil's better tackle than Blackman's a wide receiver.
I don't know if I've asked this question yet, but I've been thinking about it. Has the new rookie prices for these top guys changed the point system for trading?
Not what I've been told, and I don't think it really
should.
And
Andy actually asked that specifically to somebody.
Yeah, and I was told not really. And I don't think it should, because everybody keeps saying, oh, because there's not as much risk, more teams are going to want to trade into those picks. Well, because there's not as much risk, more teams are going to want to stay. You don't have to get out of that pick. You're not setting it. You know what I mean? If the pick's value is increased.
No, but in a case like the Rams, where you really don't want the second-rated guy, no matter who it is, I want a guy. You know, I'm happy to take a receiver, and I know they're going to be there lower. So,
but the Rams situation is totally different. There's two franchise quarterbacks, two top prospects in this draft,
right.
And they don't need one of them.
And the guy that they want, you can't take it to if they wanted a Malcolm Floyd or Blackmon or something.
Well, I mean, they could.
They could,
they
but
really
you
wanted.
Wouldn't do that.
Well, you could. And that I would actually argue the new system allows them to do it.
Right.
You don't have to give him $50 million.
It's
going to
cost
18.
The same at two as it's going to be at six.
Okay, good point.
I think the new system makes the picks more valuable for people that want to get them, but also for people that want to hold them.
Yeah, okay.
Because the risk has been removed.
Okay.
This is a situation where, like Andy said, it's a quarterback – in a strange situation where the team with the second worst record doesn't really need a quarterback.
Right.
You know, they hitched their wagon to a quarterback.
Can't really take a quarterback because they got the last guy in the old system and had to pay him $45 million or whatever. So they're kind of tied.
Yeah. I mean, has there been any rumblings in St. Louis that, you know, maybe now they're having second guesses about Bradford being the quarterback of the future?
Andy gets all mad.
No, I'm being honest. Yeah. I haven't heard any rumblings.
It's personal.
I haven't heard any rumblings at all.
No.
Because certainly in the Jets, they're rethinking Sanchez.
Are you comparing Sanchez and Bradford?
I'm just putting it out there.
Just because one has been to two AFC title games and the other has done nothing.
I'm just putting it out there.
Too ridiculous. The other led a 7-9 resurrection.
Right.
No, I have not heard, literally I have not heard anything about them. And I think money's part of that.
Yeah.
If money were not an issue, then I think there might be a greater consideration, but they're tied into him financially.
Okay. All right.
Plus, he's the next Peyton Manning.
I don't know.
That's why they don't need the current Peyton
Manning. Not sure he's special.
Oh, Jim Irsay said there will never be another Peyton Manning.
Of course there will be. There will always be another Peyton Manning.
All right, webradio at patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
We need to spin Manning to the Patriots. And you know what everybody's talking about? Do you want him in the Jets and Dolphins are two of potentially the 12. Are you afraid of him? Do you want him in the division?
I would, if I had to choose between Jets and Dolphins, I would prefer the Dolphins.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but do you want him in the division?
I
think it would make it a
very not if he's on the Jets.
I don't want him in the division. I mean, the Patriots fan part of me, I don't want him in the division.
Yeah. I
from this show point of view, I'd love him in the division.
From this show point of view, I want him in New York. I think that would be fascinating.
Well, yeah, but I don't care if he goes to Miami. I don't want him to go to the Jets.
Why?
Because in the case that he becomes the old Peyton Manning, I just couldn't stomach
it. See, I think that might be a place where he can't be the old Peyton Manning. Because of Rex Ryan,
because of Santonio Holmes,
I think there's a lot of D-bags there that wouldn't work with him.
And I'm not sure he would want this. I mean, I think that's a very unlikely destination for him.
Right. I agree.
Because I don't think he would like the whole constant comparison with his brother right there.
I think Miami makes the most sense.
It does.
It really does. I mean, he already has one of his many homes there, but he does have a home there. And it's a warmer weather place, which is more conducive to his recuperation, you would think. AFC, which he's already familiar with,
and he wants to stay in the AFC. Doesn't have to play Eli,
right?
All of that stuff, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Plus, I think the fact that Philbin is new and his offense is new, whatever you know, he's going to have a system, but he's in the process of putting it together. If you add Manning this week, and he said he wants it done within a week, now you're building the offense with him, and he has some input and. I think it makes a lot, and I think they could be a good team right away.
I wouldn't be surprised either if Reggie Wayne, who
went to
Miami.
Well,
Reggie Wayne has come out and said that. It's basically a package deal.
Yeah, this is starting to annoy me.
My desire is
package deal. I don't know who I blame for this, but LeBron James, everybody, these players now on package deals, we do what we want, we know where we're going. I don't like it.
Well, the only thing about this, it's a lot different. This isn't something that was orchestrated.
No, I know.
This is something
that's going to be orchestrated.
No, what I'm saying is they didn't get together and say, here's what you're going to do, Peyton. Let's see if we can get a neck injury and that you're going to have three surgeries. Otherwise, he would never be a free agent.
I know that.
And he would just be re-signing an Indy.
All of this, Brandon Lloyd, I'm going to go with McDaniels and I'm going with Peyton Manning.
But you know what I'm saying?
Why don't you go win on
Reggie your own? Wayne would simply be re-signing with Indy if nothing had ever happened to Peyton Manning.
The Dolphins would need
and
to
And then no one would have any problem with that. But it's the same thing. He just wants to stay with Peyton.
If they want to fit both of those guys, I think they'd have to do a little bit of work. Well, not a whole
Reggie
lot.
Reggie Wayne apparently will take $2.50 to go play with him.
Or $9.4.
Yes.
Other emailers want to chime in on where Manning might go. Andre in Norwood says, what about Manning to Dallas? Jerry Jones has the balls to do something like that, but do they have the cap availability? As far as the draft goes...
Can we just eliminate the cap as a reason for any of these teams doing this or not doing it? Because let's face it, he can go anywhere he wants.
I would do it if I were them. Everybody keeps saying that Houston should do it. I think Dallas is the better candidate. I think Houston has a very good quarterback.
I can see Jerry Jones doing this.
I think Romo sucks, and I think if you put Manning on that team, boom. He's not going to play Eli twice.
What about Denver?
Well,
Denver's the best one because we can shut up all those Tebowites.
Before we get to Denver, in the same division, Jim from Walpole says, other than the fact he thinks the Raiders, other than the fact that Peyton is too good of a person to play for the Raiders, why are the Raiders not in the mix? They have great running back, a tough defense, speedy wideouts, yet they are the one team I have not heard about pursuing him.
Didn't they just mortgage everything for Palmer?
Mm-hmm.
They traded at least one first-round picks.
Two.
And gave him money.
Yeah.
I mean, they made their bed. They're lying in it.
Well, I you know, I still...
They're lying in it.
It doesn't mean they couldn't. I'm just...
Felger?
I still think
it's Felger.
No, I'm with you. I think they made a gross error last year.
Yeah, and I think they would. I could see them admitting that error and going after Manning. You know,
but I could see them going. I can see them going after him. I don't see Manning even giving it a consideration.
Well, that's
because
of
the whole situation that they just did.
Yeah,
And I also don't think they have a good defense either. I think that, I mean, when did the Raiders get a great defense? I don't see it. I could see that division being something that he looks at. The South and the West in the AFC are both terrible divisions. The North and the North is obviously the best, and you got to bang head with the Patriots if you go to the East. So I could see him saying, well, that's a little tougher.
Simon writes in, he says, more back padding. Talking of coverage, you guys got a brief mention on ESPN Football Today with Ross Tucker and Matt Williamson. The producer, Pod Vader, is a big Pats fan and mentioned you with a reference to Manning and the CBA. So say hi to Pod Vader. Ross already criticizes him for talking about the Pats too so much and calls the ESPN podcast Patriots Football Today. Okay.
Wow.
So did they mention our show?
Pod Vader? That's a guy.
Simon, did they mention the show?
Mention it again, Pod Vader.
That could be our sister ESPN show.
Of course, with us mentioning you, you're probably getting heard more because we are huge.
Plus, we kind of like Ross Tucker.
Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah. Apparently, he doesn't like the Patriots.
No?
Well, he makes fun of Pod Vader for talking Patriots too much.
Is that what he calls? I thought that was his name. The producer was called on that
show. The producer is Pod Vader, and evidently Ross Tucker makes fun of the producer for talking about the Patriots too much.
That's okay. God forbid the team that goes to the Super Bowl, you talk about him.
His Randy just changes a lot.
Ross Tucker wants to talk about the friggin' Browns or something.
By the way, a former Patriot.
Yeah.
I mean, even though, you know.
Very briefly, but,
Let's see. Nick and Victoria.
Good for him.
Nice, Nick.
Yeah.
Every single time he does it.
And all you have to do is change the N to a D and you're all set, right?
Oh,
and speaking of which,
yeah,
you just made me think of the DI word.
Yeah,
you can say that on real radio, and I heard people calling other people that.
Oh yeah.
Well, you once kicked me off a show for calling somebody that.
It was the context in which you were.
It
saying.
Was Felger's show.
Yeah, I disagree with that. That's not
Who
a word that
calling?
Should be acceptable.
Who are they calling
on regular radio?
Well,
Felger.
No, he uses the same thing with the PR at the beginning too. I think that's inappropriate.
Oh, I do too.
Give me a break.
I think those. I don't think those two
Paul
words
Perillo
should be on regular.
Football
I actually
weekly.
Think the
well,
PR
uses
is
a lot
more
of
inappropriate.
Huh?
I think PR is more inappropriate.
How so?
I don't know. I just do.
It's the
same thing. I think they're the same exact thing. And
anatomically, I
know
they are.
It's
the same
like
thing.
It's like saying poop and the SH word. They are the same thing.
No, they're not.
No. One of them you can say.
My daughter yells daddy.
I
just went poop. She doesn't yell the other thing.
They mean the same thing. Is what he means.
Fred,
you can say penis.
Right.
But you can't say the other word.
Prick and dick.
I mean.
What? I said it fast.
It doesn't matter
how fast you say it.
But isn't it kind of silly?
No, I don't think so. There are words that are dirty.
Yeah.
Penis is the proper term. Those others aren't.
So if I properly call you a penis instead of a dick, you know.
But no one says that.
What's the difference?
All right. Is there a difference between fornicating and the F word? Yes, there is.
Okay.
One you can say and one you can't.
But if I say,
one you're more into.
Paul, you are such a penis. What is the difference? What is the difference?
You can say
So you're saying that you should be able to say anything you want. There should be no dirty
words. Or you shouldn't be able to say any of them.
No, but you have
that
to be able to
That would eliminate talk radio.
I can call a female
words.
Dog a bitch, but I can't call a woman. I mean, there's two different
uses. Right, exactly. But my usage that I just used is exactly the same usage as the other one.
What if he were a private detective?
Right.
Well, a different
or
usage.
Richard Seymour goes by Dick.
Usage.
But you
well,
think that you should be able to say any word then?
No, it depends on the context. If you call a detective a dick, that's the context in which you're using it.
How do you know?
But
maybe he's not a very nice guy.
Maybe it's Andy Hart who's trying to.
Is Mike Felger?
You know more than anyone that
detective?
I have no problem with language. It doesn't bother me in the least. But I think if you're on the air, you should probably try to avoid using offensive language.
Right.
That's all.
I think it's the context in which you
use
it.
See, I don't.
I don't. If I need to, Jackson's not going to know the context, but if he hears the word, I don't want him hearing it.
Huh?
Like the other day when I said, what the hell is that? And then he was walking around, what the hell is that? I got in trouble for that.
All right. Anyway, Nick, who's still in Victoria.
Really
good job, Nick. Going long and strong.
What happened?
That's true.
He's still in Victoria.
It's good to hear your show is doing so well. I've been listening to every show since the beginning of last year, and it's good to hear you should be around for the foreseeable future. It's the best sports show on air.
Should?
Not just because it's all about the Pats, but because it's all about the NFL in general with usually unbiased views. Thanks again, and now Fred is going to need a new tagline since Pete's show is gone. I was just going to get used to Pete's unique brand of Patriots Radio. I guess you could give Andy his own show and use the same line. Keep up the great work, and I can't wait to see the Patriots next year in Seattle. So, yeah, we are.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun trip.
Victoria is Seattle.
It is.
I like Seattle.
Me I like too. Seattle, too.
It's very hilly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what.
It really was. It's like North Providence.
I texted Pete yesterday to congratulate him. Mm-hmm. He hasn't got back to me, so I don't know what his schedule is. Maybe he could still do this
Maybe
show.
Maybe he's at the deli.
Could be.
Maybe you're in the rearview mirror. He doesn't need you anymore.
I guess so.
After we got him a gig?
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. He wouldn't have gotten that gig without Fred.
It's true.
Right?
It's true. You kept him relevant.
Unique brand.
Just another one.
Patriots talk.
Fred's empire continues to spread.
He's Pod Vader.
He's, I don't know, Mike Reed.
The Emperor.
Those are nice uniforms, Paul.
They've highlighted.
Unbelievably bad.
They look like a highlighter.
Yeah.
They're human highlighters.
Mally writes in about dirty language. He says, go fornicate yourselves. So, all right.
All right.
Where's lunch?
He thinks poop and the other word are the same thing.
They'll be here momentarily.
No, it's context. It's contextual.
They're referring it's to the same like thing a, is what he meant.
It's kind of like it's a tonality issue.
But they're not the
no,
same.
No, but he's you not saying He's saying it's by context.
Obviously, one is allowed, one isn't.
Right,
but when you
for
think
good
about
reason.
It, you're, you
yeah,
know,
you're describing
if I
the
see,
same thing.
If I say you're full of poop, it's the same thing, meaning as you're full of SH.
Well, I guess technically, but you can't say the other.
I understand. The question is why.
Because
because some words are
socially unacceptable.
Are deemed dirty.
Right. Otherwise, I'm fine with you. If you want to say we should be able to say anything, I agree with
that's
that.
Very, yeah, it's a very short list.
And you know what? In like 3 years, it would those words have a negative connotation because we give it to them.
Right.
If we just got used to saying them, if your preacher said, it's a beautiful bleeping day out there, well, it would just take
right.
away the
and
negativity.
And there was a time where you could not say hell. You couldn't.
And Bart Simpson
on
said,
TV,
how the hell can I learn about hell
right.
if I can't say hell?
On TV, radio, and now it's okay. So things and change.
You can say S-H-I-T.
Well, obviously things
you can
changed.
After 10 on regular TV.
Is
I've
that
heard
right?
S-H-I-T.
We just started talking about this, that some of the words that you hear on radio now. It's just because it's starting to change doesn't mean it's right.
Well, they're all
everybody's seven, right?
Everybody's huh? always testing.
Didn't there used to be seven words? George Carlin did his
yeah,
seven.
Yeah, the seven dirt, yeah.
There's fewer than seven now, aren't there? Because, like, aren't,
no, I think
aren't
all
of those.
All of those are still out.
It depends when and where. I mean, there's these 10 o'clock TV rules are changing. Like, I was watching that
it
show I
to
told you, The Awake Show.
Yeah.
And the guy was having
Which
sex with his wife,
for?
And they showed what used to be...
Side boob.
Like, yeah.
I saw that
That
scene.
Used to be, like...
Taboo? Hey, Beth, what are you doing over there?
I mean, seriously, that was bored. I said to Dieter, wow, that's a little risque for regular TV. They continue to push the bounds.
Right. I think they do.
So they're
and I'm fine with that because then we'll get to Europe where you can say anything and you can see anything and it.
But
we'll
is
be
that
normal.
Good? A lot
go
of people
the
don't think that the erosion of you know decorum.
Everybody swears. Everybody has sex. Everybody has a penis. Well,
not everybody.
But just because 50. Everybody's doing something doesn't mean it's right.
Come on now.
See, we've made these things seem dirty when they're not.
That's my point. Thank you for making my point.
Okay, so if we all just
but your
let
problem
it out
was
there,
with, it is like goes back like 200 years. Your point, your point is moot as usual,
right? I mean, society has put the
right
emphasis
it's pretty,
on
and
these.
It's pretty arbitrary.
Okay. I don't know if it's arbitrary.
Ooh, throw it down, big fella.
So do you think everybody should be able to say anything?
Andre Drummond.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
So what are you arguing?
As of right now, no.
Okay.
Get back to him in a couple of weeks. What does that mean?
No, in a couple hundred years, things might change.
Well, they're not going to change
are you wearing
unless
shorts?
You force them to change.
It's nice. I'm just wearing shorts.
Russ in England writes in, I just watched the Colts press conference on NFL.com where they talked about Peyton Manning's release. They constantly mentioned that the circumstances dictated this move, and Irsay talked about the cap being what it is and the erosion of time on the roster. All of this just screams bad future planning and a win now whilst Peyton Manning is here mentality.
That was a tough 14 years they had.
You're right. Incidentally, this is what Patriots fans are constantly clamoring for. I just thought I'd raise this point as something to bear in mind next time we're criticizing Belichick's team-building strategy and long-term model. Owen Eric, your constant refrain of Belichick trades a first this year and a first next year and never spends them is either ignorant or deliberately misleading. In either case, it's an insult to your listeners' intelligence, and it would be appreciated if you wouldn't use it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Right. I agree.
Right.
Well, his point, what?
So we have to be accurate.
He trades down more often than he uses his picks.
Kamani writes in. Remember Kamani?
Unfortunately.
Wait a second. Before you get to Kamani.
Yeah.
This has been annoying me. The Colts' team-building philosophy fell apart when Peyton Manning couldn't play. That's when it fell apart. Just like Bill Belichick's could very easily fall apart when Tom Brady doesn't play. Right?
Well, I think people will argue that.
The whole backup quarterback thing is stupid. Because everybody says the Patriots are... I mean, Brian Hoyer? How do you know he's set?
Well, that was
Rohan
another...
Davies sucked, and he was the backup quarterback to Tom Brady.
The Patriots have never really had a good backup quarterback.
I mean, they've had some veterans. They brought in Testaverde for a year. They brought in Flutie for a year, whatever. But they had guys on the roster that flat-out sucked, that were the backup quarterback to Tom Brady. So
that was another Felgerism
yesterday.
Don't
act like Belichick always has all his bases covered, and Brady is always – there's always insurance back there.
I don't think there's any question about it.
The Felgerism yesterday that I think probably elicited that rant from you, Andy, was ridiculous. He's talking about Manning has his priorities out of whack because look at the guys that he's had as backup quarterbacks over the years. He wanted his whole premise of he wanted no part of coming back to be with Andrew Luck. Because look, Jim Sorge and Curtis Painter. Well, what is the difference between Jim Sorge and Rohan Davey and Curtis Painter and Brian Hoyer? Nothing. Matt Castle was a seventh-round pick that never played in college. Are you telling me that you knew that he was going to go out and lead an 11-5 season?
No, but the argument.
So don't tell me that their preparation was any better. Don't tell me Tom Brady was more willing to have anybody behind him than anybody else was.
I don't know about that, but the argument is.
That's the argument.
You didn't completely fall apart when your quarterback couldn't.
Because you have a great coach. If Tony Dungy was the Colts quarterback last year, I'll guarantee you they'd have finished 500.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you think it was all about the coach, the demise of the Colts?
That was the biggest number one factor.
He had a lot of injuries.
Number one factor.
Well, I think a lot of those injuries were because, screw this, I ain't playing.
The number one factor.
That might not have happened if you had a great coach
exactly.
That kept them in it mentally and, you know, tight games.
If they were 2-2 instead of 0-4, guys wouldn't have been falling by the wayside.
You wouldn't jump ship. You'd have the faith to stick with it.
Now, were the Colts good enough to be a contender? No, absolutely not. They would, 7-9, something. That's probably the best they could have been.
Nor were the Patriots.
But the Patriots, I will maintain, finished 11-5, yes, out of the playoffs. Everybody forgets that part of it. There were seven teams that were better than them. Everybody forgets that part all the time. I'm sorry, six teams that were better than them right. In the AFC.
All right, the seventh would have been them. That's why we petitioned. Didn't we petition to have the playoffs expanded?
Yes, we did.
Food's here. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't
it? Right?
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I
Love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. We've had our lunch. Paul's still eating. What do you get there, Paul? Cheeseburger? Fries? Pickle? That's good. Andy's done. Eric is just in a bad way. He's got his, like, chin in his hand.
I have a delicious pizza here,
right,
too.
He's got a pizza.
I don't have an appetite for it right now.
A Shaw's bag full of groceries, and he's not touching any of it.
I can't right now.
No. Something happened.
What do you mean?
Something happened.
Something
that got you
something?
In a.
Oh no!
No, you
no,
sure?
No,
it's just it's.
It's
yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
It's not emotional. It's completely physical.
No, it's not emotional.
Okay.
No, no, I'm not getting sick from watching all this tape. If that's what you mean. Oh, turn your mic on, Andy.
Turn your mic on, Andy. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. We've got Tony in South Carolina. Hey, Tony.
Hey, what's up, man?
Nothing much. How you doing?
Hey, Tony.
Pretty good. How you doing?
We're doing great.
So if you're referencing a mascot, is it okay to say Tony is a cock? South Carolina Gamecocks?
No.
Why? That's their mascot.
Because they're called Gamecocks.
No, they're not. Their hats say cocks. Their hats say
NFL.
What's that?
I watch college football. All I care about is the NFL.
Okay. You just care about the NFL.
He was making a hypothetical.
Yes, this was just a reason for me to say cock.
Yeah.
Because he's obsessed with that.
Yeah, you know.
He likes the
okay, Tony,
out
go
of
ahead.
His mouth.
You don't seem like you're a lighthearted real having thing. Fun. So go ahead, Tony.
No, ain't nothing like that, man. While I've got a couple things I want to put out there, man. I think that the Patriots should consider bringing Randy Moss back. What I want to say is you put Randy Moss out there with those two tight ends, Gronkowski and Hernandez and Welker. I think Belichick's stubbornness caused the Patriots a Super Bowl this year by not bringing Randy Moss back.
All right. Which Randy Moss? The Randy Moss from 2007 or the Randy Moss from today? Because we're not even sure that, you know, he can do what he used to do. Why are you?
I saw the reports when we were with the Saints.
Yeah, but where did those reports come from? You know that he was great, he put on a show, blah, blah, blah.
Do you believe every report that you've ever heard?
You ever hear of agents? You ever hear of false reports?
Tony, did you know he didn't even run the 40 at that workout? Because I didn't know that until yesterday.
No, I didn't see his 40 time. They didn't say nothing about his 40 time.
No,
because he didn't run it.
Because he didn't run one. Because that was the report initially that he did.
I
so the report
right
was
now, in his career right now, I bet he's better than Chad Ochocinco right now.
Well, he might be.
One touchdown.
He might be.
But the point is, there was a report that he ran the 40, and it was wrong. So
no, the point is, the last time we saw him on a football field, he sucked.
Well, yes, that's
worse
another
than
point.
Chad Ochocinco.
But
he sucked.
You know,
you shouldn't believe everything you hear.
And you're setting a very low bar if you say
not
well,
worse
he's better
than Chad Ochocinco, but
yes,
he did
worse.
Suck. No,
worse.
No,
per chance,
he had
worse.
Three touchdowns in four games.
I wouldn't say that either, Andy.
Whoa! The end of that year,
well, he stopped trying.
Oh, so now, well, maybe Chad wasn't trying. If we're just going to...
No, I was just talking about the
Patriots. You know what a great way to go through life is? When you succeed, you're trying. But if you fail, oh, he didn't try on that one. What a great way to go through life. He can't lose, because whenever he loses, people just say, oh, he didn't try. He was sulking. Maybe he just sucks now.
But it's pretty obvious.
That.
See, I have no idea. He's old. Old receivers tend to suck.
Well, maybe he was covering it up.
No, you were covering it up by saying he wasn't trying. All the people that give him the benefit of the doubt that he's great when he tries.
I mean, in Andy's defense, why was it so obvious when in 2009 we tried to tell you he was quitting against Carolina and you yelled at us?
He was here. Different wasn't here.
In that one game, he was.
But you yelled at us for saying he quit.
Not for
so
the
maybe
season.
It wasn't as maybe it wasn't as obvious.
Game. That was an isolated
maybe
incident.
If it wasn't as obvious as you claim it is.
The dude gave them 50-something touchdowns. In two, three seasons?
Yeah, he averaged a touchdown a game. That was great, but that was the past.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to bring in Emmitt Smith? He was great, too, and Walter
Payton.
Tony,
why did he go? Why did he go?
They're all great.
Why did he go to Minnesota and Tennessee and do nothing?
He just gave that. He was so hurt about Belichick trading him.
Oh,
everywhere
he went, he said he loved the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and then he went to Minnesota and said, get your Moss jerseys out, get your old 84 jerseys.
Look, we all like Randy Moss, and we all loved him as a player, but I think the point is, as fans, we have to move on. Mm-hmm. We have to move on.
I think it causes a Super Bowl this year.
Okay.
If they had Randy Moss out of those two tight ends.
No. What cost us the Super Bowl, my friend, was a bad pass by Brady and a drop by Wes Welker. That's what cost us the Super Bowl this year.
No.
The Brady to Welker play is what cost us the Super Bowl.
Apparently a sick Eric is a better radio Eric.
All right, Tony, thanks for the call.
Imagine that story, though, if we had gotten, you know, Thursday before the Super Bowl, Patriots signed wide receiver Randy Moss.
Somebody brought that up. Remember, didn't somebody bring that up that week? A caller or an emailer said.
Maybe. But the reality of it, just if that ever happened, and it's not ridiculous.
It would have been pandemonium.
And it would have been so much fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not for Bill, probably. But, I mean, that's ridiculous for, you know, the Giants to sign him. But for the Patriots, he could show up and, you know, learn enough of the game plan and have enough of a rapport with Brady so that, you know, 3 days in, that would have been great.
Even if he just was on the field and they had to...
Then they would have had two decoys on the field, Moss and Gronk.
Right. Well, a lot of decoys.
Tying them together. Like, let's just say you're hypothetical. If it came to, like, Thursday, they said, you know what? Gronk just isn't going to be able to give us anything. Not going to give us anything. Why not?
Who can we get?
You know, he'll come in. He's a dynamic guy. He knows what we're doing. Maybe one day he comes in and he helps us. You know,
it wouldn't be that
completely outrageous.
We might have won.
Tony thinks they would have won. Cost us the Super Bowl.
Craig in the billing department's up next. Hey, Craig.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Not too shabby. I'm sorry that we got back on the subject of football. I was actually calling. You guys are talking about all the dirty words and whatnot. I had a manager at a restaurant I used to work at tell me that the F word is actually short for fornicated under the command of the king.
Under the consent or command of the king, right?
Yeah.
Really?
And
I've also heard it's for wanted for unlawful carnal knowledge.
Unlawful carnal knowledge, okay.
But the consent of the king thing is interesting.
Yeah.
That would go back thousands of years.
Because they needed more people to pay taxes. So they would promote people to have kids.
The SH word I heard was...
interesting.
Back when transit used to go overseas, like through boats, they used to ship molasses under the ships. And the ships used to blow up when they would go down there with lanterns. So they used to put ship high in transit on the boxes of molasses, which they shortened to the four letters.
Oh.
And that's where that came from.
My
manager told me. I never Googled it or anything. But yeah, and I want nothing to do with law. Okay.
Well said. Thanks, Craig. Because he is, at this point, ship high in, what is it, transition.
Craig from the billing department?
They know what they're talking about
a little
in the
knowledge here?
Yeah, they do. They know what they're talking about in the billing department.
Absolutely.
What is it? Fornicate under
The consent of king? Of the king, yeah. Chris with a TIAN writes in, good side boob, and what can I get away with saying on air that's a swear talk? It must be the off season. As for pushing the boundary, the show Nip Tuck did all of the above.
Oh, God, yeah.
Racy sex scenes that were borderline HBO, and they swore like sailors.
But that was on FX, and there's a clear cable differentiation.
Yeah, that is.
This
cable.
Was NBC.
Yeah,
that the side boob was on. Because that show, they had, like, girls bent over desks. And, I mean, they showed a lot on that show.
On a talk show note, Felger is a douche. And on a football note, I am a pussy and want Peyton nowhere near the AFC East. Go to Arizona and tell Wizenhut to keep the Gatorade cold and the Polaroids in order. Congrats in the ratings, and you're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, he says.
Good stuff by Chris.
So he's talking about a cat. That word was okay, but
was
the way
he
used it, not okay.
Maybe he was talking about it. Maybe he was saying he was a cat.
Meow. Let's see.
A character in a James Bond film.
Jonas
Galore.
Jonas is from Durham.
Alata.
I would imagine that's Durham, North Carolina, or South Carolina. Which
could be New Hampshire. Could be New Hampshire.
Durham Bulls.
North.
Yeah.
Raleigh,
Durham.
Here's a question for intellectual Eric. Put on your thinking cap.
How about under the weather, Eric?
Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a psychological guide to human needs in the form of a triangle. The base is food, air, water, etc. And above that is friendship, love, confidence. I was thinking about Belichick's hierarchy of football needs. On the bottom is Brady, offensive line, defensive line, and tight ends. Next is scrappy, overachieving linebackers. After that is special teamers who play a little offense and or defense. Last is Jag receivers, defensive backs, and running backs. I guess my point is that it'd be nice if he found a place in his hierarchy for playmakers at any position. Mm. Brady obviously accepted. Thanks, guys.
Eric, that was for you.
Okay, thanks.
I just think it's unfair to look at it that way.
Well, the argument can be made, too, that they haven't had playmakers. They've had the opportunity to get some the last few years on defense, and they've bypassed.
That would totally change the pyramid. Terrence Wheatley had been a great cornerback playmaker, well, you would have had one, so it wouldn't have been at the top of your pyramid.
Right.
You missed.
Right, you missed.
If Darius Butler
they're
had
just
been a,
misses.
You know, you had one until McCourty went to a miss.
Exactly. You thought you had one with
but
McCourty.
Then Mayo, when you don't have a playmaker, you have a guy.
But when you have... Like Mayo was the example I was going to give. He's a guy you drafted top 10, and from the day he got here, the thing he said he needed to improve on the most was making plays. So you drafted a guy, top 10, who you knew wasn't ready to be a playmaker. And some would argue still isn't.
A, didn't know he necessarily wasn't ready. And B, he's good.
He's good, but he's not a playmaker.
They drafted him to solidify the linebackers for years to come,
Do you do that with the 10th overall pick in the draft?
To solidify, yes.
And then hand him $50 million?
I don't think you do. I think you hand that kind of money to playmakers.
They don't intentionally not draft playmakers.
Right.
I mean, can we eliminate that as a
Because otherwise,
criticism?
Rob Gronkowski wouldn't be here. Oops, he makes too many plays.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure that they thought Terrence Wheatley and Jonathan Wilhite and Darius Butler and all these other
Patrick Chung.
Defensive back, Patrick Chung.
Who is?
These guys were all playmakers or had the potential to become playmakers. Some of them have, some of them haven't.
They've just missed. You know, it's not like a philosophy we can't and that's what it sounds like.
But they might not miss. I mean, if McCourty goes back to having 7 picks and Rashai Dowling can play, suddenly do we have playmaking corners?
No, I know what you're saying. Right.
I mean, it changes overnight on your little pyramid.
Right. I just think you've got to focus on
triangle.
Are they picking, you know, are they making the right choices? Not this philosophy that, well, they don't go after playmakers.
Right.
You know?
And they went after Adalys Thomas. They've missed in free agency on playmakers. He was supposed to be an ultimate. Now they need to go after Mario Williams and get him.
Joel and Merrimack, first time I've written since the loss. Not that it has taken me that long to get over it. I actually got over it quicker than I did in 07. Just haven't had anything to add or ask. I want to give my 2 cents on the Peyton thing. I emphatically do not want him in our division. I do not want to have to see his face twice a year. That is 2 potential losses in our division. Does anyone really want him to carve up that crappy D of ours? No, thank you. Let him go to the Skins so we can whip up on his brother twice a year. I also want him in the NFC because of the possibility of facing him in a Super Bowl. Imagine the draw
that, would
that
be awesome.
Super Bowl would get. Anyway, just my thoughts. Keep up the great show.
That would be awesome.
It would be an awesome
Brady Manning Super Bowl.
It would be, but
ain't gonna happen.
It's not going to happen
because he doesn't want to go to the NFC.
Yeah, especially not the NFC East
because he's thinking of the imagine the Manning Super Bowl.
John in North Carolina, not from Durham, but still in North Carolina.
Still in a triangle.
He says, lads of PFW, I was just catching up on some previous episodes and felt the need to share my opinion on a couple things. The Eric Lindsay and Bielo episode. I have no problem with Eric and Brian. At least they know football. But that was probably the only podcast I could not listen to in its entirety.
Wow.
Lindsay sounded like a spoiled little 13-year-old snob who thinks she's way hotter than she is. In addition, she knows little about football. Please no more Lindsay.
Wow.
Well, she was working with Eric, though, so I can see being kind of snobby.
I mean, she was probably like Moss without a quarterback.
Well, she had to fend you off, so.
Oh, stop it.
Also, my wife was listening to a show with me in the car and giggled repeatedly at Fred's wit. She said he reminds her of her Uncle Pete, whom she still calls Unky Pete at 46 years old. Keep up the dry, witty remarks, Unky Fred.
Well, I need to know more about Unky Pete.
Is he the bachelor?
Right, right.
Yeah, like,
give us a little more on Unky Pete.
He never got married, you know.
He's Eric.
The zany single uncle?
Right.
Oh, Eric's not zany.
Confirmed bachelor.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. I just wanted to see if there was a follow-up on that one. And no one really followed up on it.
No.
Okay.
No one hit the hole.
Especially Eric.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Oh, you're too ill.
Nathan from Southern Cal writes in. He says, with an asterisk, Fred, I'm sorry if I wrote something that pissed you off or put something inappropriate in my email. You haven't read an email from me in months.
Those are my favorite emails. Like, they think you read every
email.
He's out. Delete.
He puts it in italics, you know.
I love it.
Anyway, he says, I should just not read the email. No, he says, one thing that concerns me is that historically, the loser of the Super Bowl often doesn't make the playoffs or win the division the next year. I know that there are exceptions, but this trend concerns me. Your thoughts? It is, you know, frequently that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo had a great start. If they get some consistency from Fitzpatrick and a defense, they may be good. Miami was coming together at the end. They can do well with a quarterback, and the Jets can possibly be a threat if they get their locker room together and get some consistent play out of Sanchez. How will we stack up against the division next year?
Fine. I think they'll win it again.
Brady's fine, right?
Yeah, assuming he's fine.
Now, I agree with that. You know, Buffalo, if they are the early season Buffalo, they could give you problems. I mean, they've signed up Fitzpatrick and Johnson, and those two are bonding. Did you see the whole thing with the Mohawk? He told him he'd re-sign if he got a Mohawk, and he got a Mohawk. And
who?
And they did have a...
Fitzpatrick and Johnson. Yeah. Johnson said on, like, a Friday, I'll re-sign. You know, he clearly knew the deal was already done, and he said, yeah, I'll re-sign if you do a Mohawk slash mullet. And Fitzpatrick did it, and like,
tweeted
out a photo.
And he's a crazy SOB, that one. He'd do anything.
Right.
So you'd have that with the beard, too?
Yeah. And if Manning goes to the Dolphins, they certainly could be competitive. They could be competitive without him. I think they have decent pieces in place.
Buffalo
there.
Did have a ton of injuries last year, too, which sort of short-circuited
their
good
start.
Yeah,
you had him in the Super Bowl if they had.
I didn't say that. You know, God forbid you write something positive in a, you know, like Bill talks about on Wednesdays every week.
Right.
He, like, throws it back in your face like, oh, you think they're going to the Super Bowl.
The only thing I mocked is you wrote something to the extent
just
like,
because you never heard of their second wide receiver, like, Darnold Jones. You never heard of him, and you yelled at me.
He went from Fred Jackson, who is admittedly a Pro Bowl elite jack-of-all-trades player, to Jags of all trade. And he can, you know, without them, they would have been great.
First of all, you know how you always add to the list
when
you have two or three really good players, but then there's like three or four others? You throw them in there. It makes it look like it's a bigger point. It accentuates the point that you're trying to make. You wouldn't know because you don't write previews.
It falsifies the point.
Falsify? Clarify?
John,
rectify.
John is our in-house limerick. Or I don't know, in-house, but he's our...
I'm tired of him in this limerick.
He's our poet laureate.
It's because they all end making fun of you.
He's our poet laureate.
They suck.
He says, Andy incorrectly said I was picking
on
Eric.
Right. A sick Eric is a better Eric.
He is. He actually has a personality.
Well, he's gonna stick by you here, Eric. So before you... He says, Andy incorrectly said I was picking on Eric at PFW in Progress, but those were other posters. I actually have been defending him. For example, maybe Eric is a pompous ass... But the guys never give him a pass. His skin is still not tough. He has suffered enough, trapped in a small room with Andy's gas.
That was defending him?
Yes.
No.
With friends like that.
He was being facetious.
I know. That was more flattering than the other ones, though. Some of them were not very nice.
Well, but they all weren't from John. They were from other posters.
Right.
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 I just thought that was the next line.
All right, 508-298-0398.
Apparently,
we ace ticket hotline.
This is a terrible show after our ratings high.
High? Want to get high?
Resting on our laurels.
Sebastian.
Bulmer?
Janikowski.
In Edmonton, Canada.
Buck?
Says, just wondering if anyone thinks we
That's
should go Johan, after Courtland Finnegan.
No, but there was the rock star.
Since there is not a top-tier safety in the free agency or in the draft past Mark Barron, who could be off the board by the time we pick? Do you think Bill might pursue Finnegan? From what I've seen, he's a downright nasty physical corner who gets in your face all game as well as talks trash and gets in your head. I always see us leave 10-yard cushions for these receivers. Maybe it's time to get an aggressive corner who can disrupt routes at the line of scrimmage. I mean, the guy fought Andre Johnson, for Christ's sake. But thanks, guys. Love the show. Courtland Finnegan.
They do need a better play at corner, but I don't think they need Courtland Finnegan.
I'd take him.
Why don't you think
I hate him, but I take him.
I don't think he's the kind of player that they would bring in here.
Because of his attitude?
Yeah.
Has he had any worse attitude than Randy Moss or Corey Dillon?
Randy Moss didn't get into fights with people on the field. Well, Hainsworth, okay, that's a good
point.
Logan Mankins gets into fights. Vince Wilfork gets into fights.
Yeah. Richard Seymour got into fights. That's certainly not the reason why we got rid of him.
Shoving matches.
They're
not ripping people's helmets off.
So his fight escalated a little bit further than
Mankins, while on his knees, punched a guy in the crotch
and laughed about it afterwards.
Right. I mean, you got to be a little nasty. So now, if he did this all the time, okay, you know,
he does it a lot.
Does he?
I also don't know. I would first of all, I don't think you know. I don't think that would have anything to do with Bill's evaluation. It's about what he thinks of the guy as a player and what it would take to get him here and what he thought about his ability to play the way they want him to play. I think that would be it would be strict. Talent evaluation to me. It wouldn't be he got in a fight with Andre Johnson, so we're not going to bring him in.
Not
here.
Just that case. I mean, I don't know. Just doesn't seem like
what? Albert Hainsworth or Corey Dillon?
That was an exception.
No, they're not exceptions when there's like five of them. That's what he does. Right? He takes the player based on what he thinks the player can do.
Right.
Now, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't think Courtland Finnegan's any good. You know, maybe he thinks he's this over aggressive corner who gives up as many plays as he makes because of his attitude. That could be that could certainly be something to deter me from signing him if that's the way Bill thought.
And a lot of coaches, probably Bill included, you know,
they like the edge.
They like the edge, and they also feel when I get them,
Greg Williams would like them.
You know, I'll get them to, you know, adhere to the
it's
way.
It's only a matter of
things.
Time before I just lose it on, you know, a computer monitor this week. You guys are really catching me.
By that, speaking of, any updates on the bounty?
No. Well, except the NFLPA wants to do its own investigation and wants the league to help them get all the interviews and blah, blah, blah.
It sounded like they were trying to come to the defense a little bit.
Well, they're trying to make a case that some players were coerced into taking part in it.
Yeah.
Sure you were.
I think they're, it's a preemptive strike looking at the possibility of players getting suspended. And they want to say, listen. Right.
This is Greg Williams' fault.
Yeah. Put this on the coach. That's where it belongs to, you know.
Well, I'm sure there were a lot of players. Some players who felt peer pressure to be involved in it. But
sure.
I mean, you know, really? You're going to try to prove that? You know? As one coach would say, it is what it is.
Where do you think the problem lies?
Greg Williams.
Yeah, I do too.
And Sean Payton.
Yeah. No, I
and every other defensive coordinator who's done it over the career.
Well, no, but I think my
culture
point,
is part of the problem.
Yes. My point is the coaching is the problem, and that's where it starts. Now, Jonathan Vilma might have put $10,000 on the table and said, whoever knocks out Brett, for whatever. And that's not right. I'm not dismissing that part of it. But to me, I don't really think players should be suspended, but they're probably going to be.
I think they should.
Because the sheriff is in town.
Any player proven to be paid for injuring somebody should be.
But you're under the assumption they wouldn't have injured them.
Right.
That's. So I'm saying, Bernard Pollard may or may not have been paid. Brady was getting hurt at the end of that play, regardless. Whether he did it intentionally or unintentionally, whether he was paid or unpaid, the end result of that play is the same.
I'm sure part of this investigation is, okay, guy gets paid for doing X. Let's go back and look at that play.
If there's documentation.
Was there a little bit.
I mean, if there's documentation,
you know,
that said.
So what makes it any better or worse? I see Vince Wilfork, Rodney Harrison, Richard Seymour, all these guys give a little bit extra or beyond the play, and if they were or were not paid, it's still a dirty play in my mind.
Right, and it should still be penalized.
And perhaps,
fine.
I mean, now you need to change your whole game then.
Well, that's what he's trying to do.
Wait a minute. They were reprimanded. They were fined.
He's a lawyer who wants to take the barbaric nature out of football. Football is a barbaric game.
There was a million fines that came out of that Vikings game.
Oh, well, yeah, but there's other plays and other games, too.
They got fined for them.
Okay.
Right. They lost money. They made 500 and got fined 15 grand. They were minus 14.5.
In the recent past, the way Goodell has been, do you think there's been a cheap shot that hasn't gone fined?
Well, I think some that have been missed.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that, Fred.
I think some he's seen that just weren't
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. You know, I think there's been way more guys that were clean hits and got fined than there have been dirty hits that went unfined.
You know, the back end of a special teams play and, you know, now the guy got hurt. Now you look back and you look at another part of the film. It's like, oh, yeah, that he did do
I'm
something.
Talking about a play that was seen.
That's what.
I think they're all seen because the exactly. teams send in tapes every week of stuff they
if
want
they
reviewed.
Had a problem with it, then they put it in for a review. And I think there are far more instances of guys that got fined for clean hits than the other way around.
I think the problem is Goodell doesn't like football. He likes basketball on grass. He likes scoring.
How about John Madden?
He doesn't.
Did you see John Madden's recent quotes in the LA Times to Sam Farmer? The quarterbacks need to be protected more.
Yeah, I saw that.
How could you possibly protect them more? Look, keep them off the field?
I mean, you could protect them more. I think you need to go to that because I think that is actually more fair than what is in place now. I think it's you can't touch them. No matter what, you can't. So that way, you take the gray area out.
He thinks they should be like kickers, and as soon as the ball leaves the guy's hand, you can't hit him.
I actually think that's fairer to the defenders because now you just know, cut and dry, you can't hit him.
But I also feel that
the whole game would be rough in the passing
and always will be to hurt. Then I think that you need to try to clean up the game and change the culture.
It's not just the culture; it's the game. The game is about
hitting.
Right.
The game is physical enough as it is without bounties.
Hitting.
I'm not saying that
the
they should have bounties.
The game is about pain going both ways.
Don't take this to like a violence against women argument.
Properly.
Right.
Not improperly. Improper hitting leads to injuries.
And so do proper hits.
Right. I think there's way more injuries.
Right.
I think there's way more injuries that result in proper hits.
Cut out the improper as much
as we
can.
What's improper, though? Now improper is below the knee, above the neck, above the this, above the that, blah, 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 blah.
You've said it yourself, Andy. You know unnecessary roughness when you see it.
Right.
So that's what
Very
you call.
Easy. Call it.
Right. You can you call it, but if somebody's getting paid for it, if somebody's getting paid to be
that
a jerk,
mean,
but
that
he should,
irrelevant.
He should have more of a punishment than a guy who does it.
So Ray Lewis is dirty. If you took every Ray Lewis hit and just said, just so you know, he got $500 for each one of those hits. Do those become dirty now?
Now he gets suspended because,
they're no different. The hit was the hit. Whether you know about a money or not, the hit is the hit.
Right.
Evaluate the hit. Was it late? Was it unfair?
And you're also making a leap to say that he hit him like that because of the bounty.
But we're also talking about, beyond just a good hit, hurting a guy. Some of these bounties, and this is why people are just so, you know, got their panties in a bunch about the Saints, is getting carted off is different than blowing a guy up.
All right. Well, this is my example, okay?
Now, one can lead to another.
Do you remember?
But to be rewarded, then you're going to...
But if he's carted off because of an illegal hit, then the hit was illegal regardless of whether he gets paid or not. And if he's carted off because of a clean hit, then the hit was clean regardless of whether he got paid or
and
not.
And all of this
Those are not related.
And on all of what Goodell is trying to do is at least get rid of the illegal hits as much as he can.
I don't have nothing to do with bounties.
I don't
get rid of those because they're illegal.
I think if there's a little more incentive in the way of a bounty, there might be more of a chance to do an illegal hit.
No, but I
and
don't have a problem with him
hit,
getting rid of an illegal
punished.
Hit. Right. Yes, if a guy makes
it has
an illegal
nothing
hit,
to do with the bounty. It has to do with the hit being legal or illegal.
And I'm talking about just, you know, you're making fun of Goodell for doing all these things. I think he's right to do what he's doing. Not to forget about
but
the
I
bounty.
But I don't think we're making fun of Goodell.
If the bounty.
I honestly don't know that Goodell likes football of the past.
Yeah, and
he likes the modern game.
I think that's
and
unfair.
And he said it at the Super Bowl. He likes high scoring.
But that's not making fun of him.
Offensive football.
But to say he doesn't like football of the past is unfair. Football of the past is not the same as football now. Guys are bigger.
Because he changed football now.
Guys are bigger. They're faster. Yeah. We know more about concussions than we did 20 years ago. It's completely unfair to say he doesn't like football the
only
way
thing,
we play.
But why
the only
is
thing
that,
that's
wait,
it's just
wait,
unfair.
Why the only
is
thing negative? That's I don't true get it. Is the concussion thing. The other stuff I think is irrelevant.
Well, most of this stuff does lead to concussions.
Okay, then end the game. I'm being dead serious. Football is a barbaric game that involves a lot of hitting. If you think the nature of concussions and health is a massive issue, then you need to eliminate the game.
Well, all I can...
As Paul tried to compare it to hockey, I don't think it's very close to hockey.
No.
There are a lot of concussions
I
in
agree
hockey, but you could eliminate hitting from hockey and still have an up-and-down
right
game. You're... on ice with skill
that's right
and defense. I don't think you can have football
right
without hitting.
That's right. And you're absolutely right. I don't disagree with you. But what I'm saying is that because of the speed, the improvement in the equipment, guys are more reckless now than they ever were. And if you can, and no matter what, these guys accept the risk when they decide to play football. I understand that. But if you can minimize the poor technique and the illegal hits, at least you've done your part.
Yes, I agree with you, Fred.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I agree with that.
Fine. If you can eliminate the poor technique, I'm all for that.
And you
and
can
if
also
you can eliminate
and that's all
hits,
he's trying to do.
I think he goes beyond
see,
that.
No. But he's also trying
I think
to eliminate
he's admitted that he wants an offensive high-scoring game. He's on the record saying that. That's changing the game. You're not just eliminating health in this. You have decided you want a different game.
But that
he's decided
how
that
does that how does that how does that square with trying to eliminate the culture of being paid to try to hurt people?
Well, we don't know what
this
the culture
is,
of that
this
is
going to turn out to be the most overblown thing that ever happened in the NFL.
And Jim Miller already wrote that. This is a ridiculous... Jim Miller, quarterback, by the way. A quarterback, not a defensive guy, not a guy who made extra money. He's a guy that made money getting hit and wasn't all that athletic.
We're making a leap now because of this bounty thing that players for the New Orleans Saints hit harder and try to hurt more than every other of the 31 teams, which to me is absolute garbage.
I agree.
And Ray Lewis had a hit in the, I want to say the 09 AFC Championship game against Baltimore, where he absolutely killed the running back right as he caught a pass over the middle, knocked him out immediately. The hit was as clean as day. Right now, if you found out that Baltimore had a bounty system, Ray Lewis getting suspended
all the
for that?
That's what I said. I think half his career would be suspended.
Is he getting suspended for that?
He did it. Wasn't he the one that hit the Reggie Bush one on a little swing pass? Almost knocked him into next Tuesday. It was a clean hit.
And the answer is yes, Paul. If a guy...
No!
If
the answer is no. Because he...
Okay, you can't have an opinion then. Well, okay, fine. Never mind. I'll turn the mic.
I want you to prove to me...
Angry Eric, he's better sick!
No, I want you to prove to me how you know he went out there and hurt a guy on purpose.
If in the 50,000 documents that they said they have, it's proven, then he deserves to be
suspended. I want you to
prove
to me a hypothetical in a document that could prove to you that he went out there and hurt a guy on purpose.
An email from him to the guy paying him saying, hey, man, thanks for the $5,000. Did you see that hit? I did it because...
He's, he's going to say in an email, "I did it on purpose."
Yes, he might.
No, well, and no. I'm the one that is.
How do you know
naive.
It's in the documents?
No, I have no doubt.
There's money being changed hands in documents. Saying. You can't prove to me that a guy went out there and played harder because of it.
I agree with you, Paul. I agree with you, Paul. If the guy gets hurt as a result of a clean hit, there's no way to prove that the bounty made him hit him any harder than he would have otherwise. The problem is with the illegal hits or the extra effort after a whistle.
And that should be punished. Right. I'm not suggesting that it
shouldn't be. I understand. That's why you need to separate the whole bounty thing with what Goodell was trying to do before the bounty.
I'm with you 1,000%.
Yeah.
I'm right with you.
That's dead on.
Right. Okay.
The illegal hits need to be they need to be legislated out of the game.
They're illegal. Right.
They need to do the best they can to prevent illegal hits.
I don't think it's fair, Andy, to say forget about the bounty, that all this effort to clean up the game in that respect means that Goodell doesn't like football the way it used to be played.
I'm not allowed to have that opinion?
My opinion is it's unfair to say that.
Okay, well, my opinion is he doesn't like old school football. He doesn't.
I don't see why that's
why
a negative
do you make
comment.
That face?
Why do you think that
I'm
that's
not allowed an opinion unless
why
it
is that disrespectful to Goodell?
He why, can have any
why
game
is that
he wants.
I happen to like the game in the 70s better than now. Is that disrespectful to now?
No.
So why is it disrespectful that Goodell likes this brand better than the 70s? By the way, when Jack Tatum was launching himself all over the field on a weekly basis, the whole culture of people being reckless with new equipment.
He could
have been
very
kicked out of my
have
league
loved
if I
that game.
No, I'm just saying that this is not anything new. What happens now is not new.
He could very well have loved that game as much as he loves the game today, but realized things have changed since then, and I have to evolve.
But that's his opinion.
Right.
Why is that negative?
The way you say it, it's the tonality.
It's always a tonality issue with you, Andy. That's what the whole problem is.
It's the tonality.
I'm with Eric
fine,
now.
But
I'm on Eric's side
it.
Now.
I maintain
it's a tonality
it.
Issue.
I don't
with
think
you.
He likes old school football. I think he likes modern offensive
football.
See,
I happen to agree with
football.
That. I think he enjoys the game being played in a bubble. I think he likes 41-35 games. I think he thinks it sells. I think that's what
thinks
what drives the ratings.
Him. That's what the fans are telling.
Maybe
I think he likes that. Now, not everybody does, but I don't understand why it's a negative to Goodell for Andy to think that he likes the game now better than it was 20 years ago.
Then you're also
negative.
Perhaps making the point or the case that all this thing about safety is really nothing. All these changes of rules is really to drive a point.
Is that what he said?
Safety is a cover.
But is that what Andy said?
So you don't think he's being honest about caring about the safety?
Not as honest as he thinks he is.
Okay.
What do you mean by
protecting himself?
Yeah, I think the lawyer in him.
Well,
is worried
okay,
about safety.
But are you separating his love for big points with his need for safety? Or do you think that they're tied together?
They're tied together.
They are somewhat tied together, but I think the safety thing is very much a legal issue.
Oh, I do too.
That is very much.
No doubt.
These lawsuits, these ex-players.
Right. You have to be in a court of law able to say we did what was reasonable.
Right.
In,
right.
Well,
let's not
paint
him out
we,
to really
yeah.
being caring
yeah,
about
we made
all
a reasonable effort to do what we could do.
No, he sometimes contradicts himself in the area of player safety. And obviously the biggest one is more games. We wanted these players, more games means more chance for injury.
I want hits. I
want
to be clear on you and Paul's opinion on, suspending guys who have been proven to have taken bounty winnings for hits. Do you think they should be suspended?
No.
Do you think they should be suspended?
I would have to see on a case-by-case basis, but
well,
in general, I would say no.
The one guy, who was it, was yelling, pay me my money?
Yeah, that's different.
That's suspendable.
To me, that's
But I
different.
Also think the official on the field should have even said, what's he talking about? Like, that's a glaring, over-the-top, ridiculous event to hit somebody and then yell, "Pay me my money."
Because my point is, there, the suspensions would be by Goodell would be used as a deterrent for future players to do that.
But right. I think the guy who is responsible for this is Greg Williams, the players. That's why you get rid of him, and you're getting rid of that incentive to ever do it again.
Cut off the head and the snake dies.
You get rid of Greg Williams, you suspend him for a year or worse, and you're, going to send a proper message to the rest of the league,
right?
I can't do this.
But to enforce that message, say, not only are we going to suspend the person who came up with the idea,
We're going to suspend anybody who even thinks about getting involved in this. So plant the seed with the players. If a coach comes to you and tries to skirt the rules and say, hey, look, I know the bounty system's illegal, but we're going to try to do it, you know, under the table here. You say, you go to hell. I'm going to the commissioner. I'm telling on you. Get the F out of this league.
And that guy can join him by being out of the league because he'll be blackballed.
Well, that's the thing.
That's why I don't think they should be suspended.
But if you put the fear of out of the league? How would the player be out of the league?
If a player did that blatantly,
that'll be known.
Everybody would know about it and say, that's not a guy I want on my team.
Well, that's collusion, isn't it?
Collusion for what?
No.
If I decide I don't want a guy on my team that's going to rat me out if I do something he doesn't like, what's the collusion?
It's blackballing.
I think 32 out of 32 teams would say, I'm not going to get
doing
that guy
something
on my team.
You don't like and doing something that's blatantly illegal are two different things.
To do what you're talking about in the NFL in a locker room environment like that takes a lot of courage.
Again, by the way,
yes, and I think Goodell is trying to instill some of that.
The
in this
reason
league,
why
which
it
is,
takes
which
courage
is severely lacking
is because of the risk of being blackballed.
But can I also
that
get
exists.
Back to this? This whole
sure.
Can I
and
get
the culture
back to this bouncy thing for
right.
a second?
And Roger Goodell can stand up with that guy and put his arm around and say, you know, so-and-so did the right thing. That doesn't mean that he's going to be accepted in the other locker
especially
room.
Especially if he's not, you know, a
I
great
mean,
player.
That's what he should do. But that,
of
the
course,
reason
we
why
all know
so
this,
hard,
there's real life yeah. And then there's sports. Right. It's not necessarily the same
but
thing.
But I think Eric's right. In this case, the guys that were proven to be involved will have maybe not a suspension, but fines.
But can I also say that
I
this
don't
whole
fines really
there'll
hurt
be something.
Them.
Because right now, players, up to this point, even before this whole Saints thing, players on teams have been fined for perceived bounty situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's already happened. So the
around the league.
Around the league.
A lot of teams.
A lot of teams. That precedent's already there for fines.
But I still say if you put the
which
fear of hell in the coordinators, they'll police themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
If Greg Williams gets banned
Greg
for
Williams
life.
Gets if Greg, the biggest thing.
If Greg
and, no,
Williams
if he's
is banned
for
life,
you don't think Matt Patricia goes...
That's
you guys
it.
Don't do that because this will fall on my head and I'm not losing my
job. You're out of your mind.
No,
you're out of your mind if you
sure,
think someone would do this yeah. again if Greg Williams gets banned
no,
for a year.
No, you're right. But Greg Williams has already been to the league office twice.
Right.
I'm sure that he has said, look, when I was an assistant, we did it. They did it. To ban him for life would be completely unfair, I think.
I don't. Well, okay, whatever the – if you give him a major punishment.
Major,
that
yes.
is going to end it for
yes.
everybody else.
I,
you've
give me
made
year
an
off.
Example.
Give
you,
me a year off.
Now Matt Patricia's not doing it. Dean Pease is none of these guys yeah. are allowing it to happen.
I agree.
Because they're not going to risk their livelihood, their name,
sure.
their life.
But that doesn't mean that the players involved won't get fined and or suspended too. Vilma will probably get a couple games.
Listen, you're going to get your wish because they're going to get suspended.
Yeah.
Players are going to get suspended.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
And whether you think it's not even a matter of justice right now, Paul, and I understand what, but it's all setting an example.
But I also think that
and it's
the
PR.
whole bounty thing, I think that everybody go there's, and I know this is going to sound stupid, but I believe it. There's a difference between trying to get a guy out of the game and a dirty hit. They're not the same thing. You don't have to get a guy out of the game by
no, true.
Clipping him.
True.
And hitting him with a dirty
but,
hit.
But
now, there were hits in that New Orleans game that were dirty. They were flat out dirty. Now,
but they're already illegal.
The hit on Warner, I think it was cheap. I don't think it was dirty.
Right.
He hit him in the face. Now, I think it was totally unnecessary. And you know I hate those sucker shots, especially on quarterbacks and kickers. Now, it might be illegal in terms of against the rules now because it wasn't – I don't think it was
right.
then. Now, if you throw an interception, you can't really touch the quarterback unless, you know, he's, like, actually trying to make the tackle. If he's just on the field, he's not fair game anymore. But then he was.
But
to me, that was a cheap hit that knocked the guy out of the game. Right? But it wasn't a dirty hit.
In the scenario.
So, like, the bounty, like, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, my point, Paul, is.
Like, is he not going to make that hit if there's no bounty involved?
Maybe.
Yes, he is.
No, maybe
of course
he doesn't
is.
Do. Maybe he doesn't do the cheap shot if there's
I don't
no
think,
bounty.
But that's just what I'm saying. I don't think they're all cheap shots.
All right, but.
Some
but,
of them are hits that ended up knocking guys out of
but,
games.
But let's eliminate that question by eliminating the bounty.
Oh, I'm not in favor of a bounty.
The bounty's already been eliminated.
This is like violence
forever.
Against
but
women.
I mean,
no one thinks the bounty is good. Everybody
right.
is in agreement
including
on that.
The people who made it illegal 30 years ago or 50 years ago or whenever it became illegal.
Nobody is advocating
well, you can make
for bounties.
You can make something illegal, but if there's no deterrent, if there's no real punishment for it, if Greg Williams, let's say just extreme case, let's say he got banned for life.
Sure.
Then the Matt Patricia thing, you know, or any other defensive coordinator, they're not even going to think about it. So
right.
the instances
it's
of
like
a guy
betting in baseball,
Right.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So the instances of a guy, a defensive coordinator, now trying to resurrect a bounty program for his team are going to be so minute that in the scenario I tried to paint before, where if a player even hears about that and says, "Are you out of your mind, coach?" No way in hell. It's going to be, he's not going to be blackballed because so many, everyone else in the league is going to be at that point so against the notion of even trying to do that, that he's not going to be blackballed. He's going to be looked at as good for you. You're standing up for it.
But now you're moving forward in the future. Yeah, I don't think there'll ever be a need to have that conversation. I agree with you in that scenario.
That's all I was trying to say before.
Well, you know, you were saying that that's what the players should have done, and that's why they deserve to be suspended, because they didn't do that.
No, that's not what I was saying. I'm saying in the future now,
it will never come up
happens.
In the future. This will never, ever, ever happen again. I am confident of that. This will never happen in the NFL again.
Yeah, I'm not confident.
I'm not totally confident in that unless there are sufficient deterrents.
Unless they just completely surprise us all and there's no repercussions from New Orleans. But, I mean, based on everything we're reading, it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case.
John Carter from Mars trailer.
This to me is, you know,
well. It's just on TV.
And that was the point I was trying to make before, Paul, was the future. I wasn't saying.
Yeah, I still think you're putting a player in a very. I think the player is in a very sort of unwinnable position. I don't see a lot of players standing up and saying
all whistleblowers are.
Yeah.
Right. It's true.
It's a hard thing to do.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket
Hotline.
It's easy
to sit there and say to do right and wrong. We all can sit there in our own bubbles and say that's not right. You should do the right thing.
I mean, essentially, but that's what that TV show is about. What would you do? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a smaller level.
And I'll tell you, there's a million times I watch that and I say, I would definitely do something. I would definitely do. And there's other side. I'm not sure I would say anything in that one.
And when you were in it, it would change. Even if you think you would, you don't, you know, a guy slapping his wife or something, it's easy to say, I would step in. But.
And I have. And I've seen stuff like that. But I'll tell you, when you're doing it and you see a guy's in a rage.
Right.
And you're going up to a guy. And that did happen to me once.
If Andre Tippett was beating up his wife.
As Fred would say, it is okay to say.
Not to say he does. But, I mean, I just thought of the scariest person in the building.
Right.
If Andre Tippett's doing it, I'm thinking twice.
Well, I'm calling 911.
Because then he's going to be beating my ass.
I'm letting somebody else do it.
But here's the thing, Fred. If it's actually happening in front of you. And you're looking at the woman.
You can't wait a half hour for the cop to arrive.
You can't even wait 2 minutes.
You make a decision. Do I stop it?
This goes back to Penn State. We're not going to get in there. Curtis is on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Child molesters.
Curtis, what's going on?
About not telling the authorities and all that.
How's he take it to such an ugly place?
It's about abortion. You know that.
What's that, Curtis?
First time caller, long time listener.
Okay. Welcome aboard.
It's going to be the last time if you don't speak up.
Did you get high before you called?
I never really got a chance to call until today.
Okay.
All right, you got to bring a little bit more than that.
Just get the phone. Rev it up. Hit that gas, baby.
I love
baby.
The new Eric. We should make him sick every week.
What's your topic, Curtis? What do you need to say?
I'm just kind of wondering who.
Oh my God.
You guys think that would be a best fit for us between maybe.
How long are we going here? Seriously.
Maybe. Wide receiver wise.
Okay.
In the draft? Wide receivers in the draft?
All right, don't get him talking anymore. Wide receiver. Thanks for the call, Curtis.
Oh, my God.
Oh. I mean, he had been holding on for like 20 minutes. So.
In the draft, you think he was talking about?
I don't know. Maybe overall. Let's just say overall.
You cut him off. He was just hitting stride.
I don't know. If you're going to pick one, let's answer his question. If you could only get one,
Stephen Hill,
would you go Mike for Wallace. Draft or would you go for free agency?
I would go with Mike Wallace.
Now, real world or fake world? Are there ramifications?
Yes.
I don't know if there are ramifications.
It has to be, you know.
Well, to get Mike Wallace, I'm going to have to give up first round pick and $50 million.
Yes, I know.
Realistic.
Stephen Hill.
Yep. Okay.
Mike Wallace.
Being realistic.
Okay.
Paul?
I would be very intrigued by Hill, but I think I'm going to go with Floyd. Michael Floyd. Oh. Because I think that he is more of
like
a.
Like Michael Floyd, Paul drinks to get drunk.
It's unbelievable.
It's part of public record.
I do think that. He's more. I think there are less questions about him entering the NFL than Hill, in terms of his ability to adapt to a pro style
on the field. Off the field, there are
all
equal
right.
questions.
Listen,
well, that's part of it. If we're gonna have it all out there,
but it's not like he was addicted to heroin or something.
No, it's something that's legal and available on every street corner. He can go get a 30-pack anytime he wants. Do you think there are people in the NFL that have drinking problems that hurt their career?
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
Do you think he has a drinking problem?
I don't know. If he does, it'd be too late after you drafted him to find out, right? First round?
And there's a lot of people who had drinking problems and overcame it.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a chance. So
sounds like you're saying he doesn't deserve a chance.
I am saying he deserves a chance. I'm just not sure he's the perfect fit.
I didn't say he was perfect.
Well, he asked for the perfect fit at wide receiver.
He said,
didn't
what
he?
The, who, what would you the best, the best fit, best he said. Fit.
Yeah.
I think he's the best fit.
Okay.
Of the guys that, you know, they might have a chance at.
He's useless with sound bites.
Tim in Baltimore, in regards to the bounty system, I would like to quote every idiot Ravens fan that I work with, quote, if it wasn't helping them win, why were they doing it? So we know where that came from.
What?
But this is not a competitive advantage. This is not in any way. That's...
Well, on some level it is, because you're trying to get as emotional, a physical a defense as possible, and this is a way that he feels he uses to motivate players to be a swarming team.
I think that's a stretch.
Oh, I don't. I think that's why he did it. I mean, I think that's fact.
You can't. So then he's a terrible coach then. If he
that
has
may
to,
be.
He has to pay him money to get him motivated?
Well, then there's a lot of terrible coaches out there that have won a lot of football games.
It's, you know, as strange as it sounds, it's a camaraderie thing.
Right.
You know? And, you know,
a
we're
team.
All together.
You're building
right.
a team.
Exactly.
And that's part of this.
Yep.
I mean, teams do it all the time, not necessarily with money.
I'm
pretty sure Pepper Johnson had a thing with, like, scout teamers where you'd get a steak if you did a certain thing. Or,
right.
I forgot the exact. Now, hopefully that's not like a illegal, is it?
Maybe that's.
Ixnay on the Aches Day.
Just to say, I think it is.
Oh. Forget it. I don't. I made that up. I dreamed.
Robert writes in, wow, shocking news. Shocking news that thepatriots.com has lost their most impartial radio host, Pete Shepard. I'm concerned that patriots.com will now trend toward homerism. It won't be easy to fill those shoes. Does this mean there's going to be a mass exodus? I know that if they offered Paul something, he'd be out of here so fast.
Who's they?
One of the radio stations.
Oh God, yeah. Wouldn't even.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame
it'd
you.
It'd be skid marks leading the ring road.
So, no. But again, the big news from the top
been
of the
trying
show.
Trying to get rid of me for a long time. No.
Pete Shepard going to the EEI,
and we don't know that he won't be back. By the way,
well, what is he
doing? He hasn't returned my text, so I think he's, you know, said goodbye to me. But you know,
as far as we know, he's doing some stuff on the weekends. Which, if he wanted to continue doing our show, I think he could.
I think he could if he wanted to.
I think Paul said that.
I haven't heard from him, so I don't know. Let's see. Jay writes in, interesting two tweets from Chris Kaufman from the UniversalDraft.com. Quote, slick under the radar move by Bill Belichick letting Ryan Mallett come back to Arkansas to throw to Childs, Wright, Adams at their pro day. And also another quote from him or tweet. Nice little subtle way for Belichick to get Mallett back in front of scouts and say, remember this guy? Remember how well he throws? Okay. I mean, a lot of guys go back to their school.
Does anybody think that Belichick, like, goes to the bathroom without a plan?
No.
I mean, seriously.
Every move is calculated.
Does everything have to be, like, an underhanded way to get an advantage?
Every move is
calculated. Ocho Cinco literally has a playbook when he goes to the bathroom. Do you see that, Fred? His what is it? Is it called an avatar?
The little picture
on
Twitter?
Yeah.
His is him sitting on the toilet reading. It's like a manila folder that says playbook.
Oh, God. He is funny.
He really is.
Aside from
he
acknowledging.
He had a different one the other day.
What's that?
Hey, he just changed it.
He had a different one the other day.
You told me about that yesterday, right?
Yeah. Where it was with his Evelyn, and he was like,
doing her,
mimicking, doing something to her.
Oh, where?
In the chesticle region.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That motorboating mother bleeper.
Let's see. He says, aside from acknowledging his arm strength, the Fayetteville beat writers also describe Mallett as having lost his baby fat and trimmed down. Can't imagine the Patriots didn't have to clear Mallett to participate. Am I wrong? And do we read too much into this?
You're wrong about that. you could be right that the Patriots did orchestrate the whole thing. That I have no idea about. But Ryan Mallett didn't need the Patriots' permission to
throw
the ball.
Well, that's one of those things that need in terms of an NFL circle. Mm-hmm. Or,
yeah.
I mean, technically these players need Belichick's permission to open their mouth and call mom.
But right? I'll even take it a step further. If the Patriots purposely told him to do this, isn't that a violation?
I don't know.
Under the new rules?
Oh, yeah. They can't instruct him to do anything between the end of
right.
the year and
so I don't think they could direct
Monday
him to do that. I'm not saying that the
you might be right. The emailer might be right that the Patriots knew about this and they were on board and they thought all the things that he said. But I don't think Ryan Mallett didn't need anyone's permission to do off-season throwing somewhere.
The Patriots
he decided
could
to
not
do it in
plan
Arkansas.
This. It would be against. It would be a violation if they planned it.
When did underhanded things stop being like cute and start being cheating? Like all these things happened forever, and at some point they crossed a line where everybody wants to crack down.
I think
Red Auerbach and those people were like legends.
I'll tell you exactly. It's when the sun started shining on it, meaning exposure, cable TV, social media, YouTube, cameras on phones. It's just so hard to keep this stuff hidden now.
But even back when people
knew about it, it
was like glorified.
But there was no way to prove it. Now there's proof out there. There's electronic trails. There's, you know, videos that people post.
I'm the opposite of Goodell. I want to go back and live.
Well, in that respect, maybe it was better back then.
It was.
I want you to go in the 50 years
Me
ago,
too.
Too.
I'm happy.
But this is what Goodell has to contend with is a lot of things that didn't exist back then.
I know. It was a better world.
You might be right there, but you have to live in the world you're in.
That's true.
That's deep. That's deep.
You know?
Do business is being done.
That's right. Bad Kevin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul,
can
Eric,
can we get back
and
to the mallet thing, by the way?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Real quick.
Okay.
Because he mentioned something.
It won't be real quick.
He mentioned something about, you know, he looked like he lost the baby fat and was more toned, and that's not the first place I've seen that. Maybe it was the same guy that wrote it that he's getting it from, but did you ever see Mallet? First of all, Mallet is...
He's
got the least amount of muscle tone of any NFL player I've ever seen.
He was a skinny fat guy, or fat skinny guy, whatever you want to deem it.
I'm not saying he didn't trim down, but he has no definition to his body at all.
And he had like those little like...
He's like almost inverted. He's almost inverted. He's so, you know,
what I mean.
I do.
So then it was a perfect description.
So I didn't know if you felt the same way.
You spent that much time observing him.
Just see it. Maybe if you spent some time observing him in the locker room, you'd know more.
I try to avert my eyes when guys are in a state of undress.
I don't know why this had to do with anything about undress.
Except if it's on the internet.
Right.
There's a reason for that. I'm doing research.
He takes it to like a state of undress. No, I just think the guy is very skinny.
Ryan Mallett's physique isn't research for my job, but you looking up dongs on the internet is research for you?
Yes, it is, because that was a situation that I had to verify.
Brett Favre?
I had to verify.
The knee injury guy in Portland? That has nothing to do with the NFL.
Greg Oden?
I never saw that one.
Yes, you said you did.
No.
The Spikes one was the
Spikes
best one.
I knew you saw Spikes. I've never saw you. Greg Oden, I never looked at.
I think that was part of my rant. Greg Oden's junk.
Yeah, but I can honestly say I've never seen his junk. Yeah.
That's big of you.
Yeah. All right.
He's proud of that fact.
I just wanted to know what you guys thought about, you know, Mallett's condition.
He's
very, very skinny.
He's like, very skinny.
But he's fat skinny. He's soft and skinny.
But there's no muscle tone.
It's not
definition.
He didn't come here fat.
Baby fat would describe like an offensive lineman.
But I've seen so many people refer to that like he's much more toned. And I'm like thinking to myself, what was he at Arkansas if he's more toned now?
Yeah.
And it's one of those things we probably wouldn't have noticed because we saw August, September, October. Somebody who didn't see him since last time he worked out a year ago might notice more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Bad Kevin says, I think I am probably one of the only Patriots fans that's rooting for Manning to come to Miami.
I am.
I love those classic battles of Brady and Manning. It was great when Indy was in the AFC East. Granted, we have been very lucky that both teams have been so good they get to play each other each year. Getting to see this rivalry twice a year again would be great. I think this is the year that the Jets become less of a rival because we'll beat them twice. I have a rivalry. To have a rivalry, the teams need to continue to split. I think that with Rex and the way he talks, Jets week will still be a big one, but I think a renewed rivalry with Miami would be great. Don't get me wrong. I hate the Jets as much as Paul, but after this season, they seem like
Paul?
The redheaded stepchild to the Patriots. Bring Manning to the AFC East and let it be the best division in football. It will help us prepare for the playoffs better. I might have to change my sign to F the Fins rather than F the Jets.
You could get three matchups a year, right? Two regular season and then a playoff.
There's an interesting theory, though. Do you think it helps you in the playoffs to play in a very difficult division, or does it hurt you?
Help.
Based on what I've seen play from the Patriots late. I think it hurts you as far as getting into the playoffs, but then I think it helps you once you're in the playoffs. Because you've been toughened up.
This Patriots team looked like it hadn't necessarily been ready to play playoff games lately.
Mm.
Maybe they'd be
well,
better
it didn't
ready.
Hurt them in the beginning part of the decade when they didn't have anybody to prepare them for the playoffs.
That's why I said maybe. I don't know. But they were just a better team then. Veteran-based team that could flick it on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, obviously it gives you a better chance to make the playoffs. That's not the part. I meant
no, I'm
in terms
about
of preparing to play
the
in the playoffs.
On the first weekend in January
does.
When Ray Rice runs up the middle, do you stop him or are you overwhelmed and you get your ass kicked?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there's arguments to be made both sides. Pittsburgh has been able to come out of that tough North and make Super Bowl runs.
Right.
Baltimore hasn't. I don't know. I suppose
Giants have. They play a tough AFC. NFC
good way to
schedule.
Look at it both ways.
They it's barely get in the
question.
Playoffs and they win the Super
right.
Bowl.
They test their mettle in the season and roll.
Brooklyn Matt says, Pete's gone? Fine. I want
not
a 4-6
year.
To six slot. I'll take this opportunity to officially put in my bid. I'd freaking kill it on the air. 2 hours of straight urban decadence.
Straight urban decadence? Who is this?
That's Brooklyn Matt. You have nothing to say, Andy?
No. Certainly wouldn't be straight.
That was funny.
Ed from
he rarely does that, but that was funny.
Ed, Junior.
Thanks, Jim Irsay.
Ed from Wilmington says, "Hey guys and Eric, you can stop the what if Reggie Wayne came to New England for short money debates. The team that signs Manning will pay Wayne twice the amount that any other team would offer. Manning will want him as a safety blanket and someone who will teach the other wide receivers his system."
You're right, okay. But not for that reason. He's going wherever Manning goes. It has nothing to do with money.
And we have Brandon Lloyd who's going wherever McDaniels goes because right. That's the way the sports world works now.
And he's very upset about it.
Rick writes in, big fan, quick question. Let's say you are Belichick and you sign Mario Williams and you are going to trade up in the draft. Who would you trade up for? So you're going to sign Mario Williams.
I am intrigued by Mark Barron, and my dream of him slipping to 27 seems to be dead because every time I look at a mock, he's higher and higher. He would be a guy I'd consider for, although I think that position isn't necessarily one where you see a marquee
trade up that far. Yeah.
But I just look at this defense, and I think if you added a very good to great safety and a very good to great outside guy, you're a lot better on defense right away.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a guy I really covet that I would want to move up for.
There's not too many. Ingram.
Malcolm Floyd. Some
you believe he doesn't fit the mold, but if you believe Ingram is just a
first
great
of all,
pass
it's,
rusher.
It's Michael Floyd. And I don't think you have
why
to move
up
to
why do I keep calling him Malcolm
Because there's a Malcolm
there's
Floyd.
There's another Malcolm Floyd.
Wide receiver.
Who plays with a wide receiver who has a drinking problem. So there's this whole tie-in. It's weird.
Mike, you know what? You're an anti-Miller Lite-ite.
No, I like Miller Lite.
Miller Lite-ite.
If you drink, you can't succeed in life. There's nothing wrong with a few beers, Andy.
I have a
lighten
few
up.
Beers every night.
Lighten up.
You should start a vineyard
him
on
his
property.
Glass mug.
That's a lot of work, isn't it?
Ask yeah. Drew.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll
have
you
a
could,
little
you
vineyard.
Have an extension.
First of all, I don't have a big enough piece of property. I'm not clearing
sure you
land.
Do.
You have like 20
alpacas.
Acres.
Yeah, you do. And I think that's a lot of work.
Oh.
Plus, like, it can be ruined instantly. Like, a one-night fog or something changes everything.
Not it's surprised.
Why don't you just put up like a
like
one of
everything
those,
else in the
pergola?
World? Andy knows a little bit about
would take
it.
Him inspecting the trees or the bushes or the vines or whatever, and he farts once, and that's it.
Oh,
the whole thing's dead.
You know, I live across.
I'm glad you brought that up. Farting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Classic stories from T.J. Perillo, my youngest. We're at my niece's confirmation last night. We're in church.
Oh.
First of all,
that went over like a fart in church.
I figured
why
you'd do that.
Why do you have to yell at?
I figured you'd do that at the end of the story, but just everything. No offense, Eric. I know that you care about these things. You're a very spiritual man. I'm not. But everything that you have not gone to church for was this mass. It was an hour and 40 minutes. Easy.
They touched you.
Easy.
Improperly.
Stop. The homily went on for about a day and a half where he's talking about the sacraments and literally he talked about penance for at least 15 minutes. And then he goes, and now the second sacrament, and Beth looks at me and she goes, is he going to do this for all seven sacraments?
Oh, man.
Anyway, it was going on forever. At one point, TJ goes, how long are we going to, when are we getting out of here? And it was like dead silent.
Oh, that's great.
And Beth goes, never. And he goes, never? Now he's laying down. He literally was quiet the whole time other than like that little outburst. He did have one of those that everybody heard. But he's laying down now. We're trying to get him to fall asleep. And all of a sudden, he just lets one rip. I mean, it was
Just let it rip.
Right there. Yeah.
There's a kid.
Well, the poor kid probably had to go to the bathroom.
There's a kid right behind us that goes, So it actually did go over like a fart in church.
But it went over pretty well based on apparently a small audience.
Big laughs all around. And then all of a sudden it started stanking. Because, I thought, maybe.
All of a sudden he gets the incense out.
I thought maybe we could get by trying to play off that it was, because he's laying on the pew.
A creaky pew?
Yeah, like his foot.
It was appropriately named pew.
His foot might have, rubbed against the pew and made that noise, but, then all of a sudden it just started stanking. And he's going, I farted. But literally an hour and 40 minutes for a confirmation mass.
Wow.
And they wonder why they can't get anybody to go to church.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And when, by the way, Eric, as someone who does go to
church.
They
have more points.
You go to church
every
week, right?
That's how you get more fans.
When did they start changing all the words?
Just a few weeks or maybe now it's a couple of months ago.
Why?
But,
peace be with you?
And with your spirit now. I know. It's the
nothing was as I remembered it.
That was a Vatican decree.
Within a year.
Oh yeah, it's very recent. It's the new liturgical year they started doing that, and it's
why?
By Vatican decree they wanted to try to. The explanation was really just convoluted when they gave it to us when they announced that they were going
to
do that, but it. They
set up the script.
Yeah, essentially that's kind of what they were trying to do. Was like they need.
So what is it? Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
And with your spirit.
Instead of also with you. But and
there's a lot of minor things like ten of those.
Sure, religion's one of the few things you don't want to be freshening up the script. It's built on tradition.
Thousands of years.
So why would you freshen the script?
Well, because they're saying that they're trying to make it more. Because when Vatican II happened in the 60s,
Electric Boogaloo.
No,
is that like Rocky?
Wait, there was a sequel to the Vatican?
No, there was a big meeting of church leaders called Vatican II.
And
it was in the 60s.
W-O?
No, two. Like, number two. The number
II.
Two. Yeah. Where they made all of these changes.
II.
They made it more of, layman's terminology to the Mass. Where the, and also with you was one of those things where they made it a little bit more friendly.
Used to be what it is now?
It used to be a lot more. Well, it used to be in Latin, first of all. Then they.
I wouldn't advise made doing
the,
that.
Well, but this is sort of like how the original Latin translations were, which were a little bit more rigid. In their translation. So Vatican II sort of loosened those up. Now they're trying to go back to the more strict interpretation of the Latin.
That'll fix all their problems.
Yeah, I know. They're worried about
stopping diddling.
They're worrying about the wrong
thing.
I totally agree with that aspect of it. They're worried about the wrong things that they need to fix in the church.
They should bring back self-flagellation, I think.
Well, if Andy went, it'd be self-flagellation.
Right. That was coming. The one that pissed me off, Eric, was like,
what are you joining the show for?
No, it's just annoying that you have to learn the whole prayer, and then all of a sudden you go to church one day, and it's like, everything's different.
Well, if you go every week.
No, I don't go to church.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you go every week, they gave you time to try to learn the new one, but it just.
You
got to
be there for training camp.
It's so minor. Like,
it's like implementing the whole system.
You're like, Ocho, Ocho. Once you're lost, you're lost.
No, but Paul's. The Paul's point is right.
Seriously,
his point is right,
but
though.
But it means something to him
because it's minor changes to something that
didn't really appear to be broken.
Exactly. It wasn't broken. Why are you fixing it?
Let's go to today's lunch buyer. Thank you, Olivier, for buying us lunch.
Merci. Thank you, Olivier.
It was absolutely delicious. How you doing, Olivier?
The part that I can
in
get
nomine
down anyway.
Patris et filios et spiritus sanctus. Amen.
Amen.
Even that's all changed. The amen song is all different.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, dogs, how you doing? Is it the way Randy Moss speaks?
He is all over the map here.
He went from Latin to slang. Unbelievable.
Hey, since we have nothing to talk about, where do you think that Manning is going to land? Do you think he's going to land to Miami or is he going to go to the West Coast?
Miami.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think Miami makes the most sense.
You see, they already changed their odds. I don't know which site it was on, but they had
O-Dog?
Been. Well, no, they, I believe, were taken down by the feds recently.
Oh, really?
I think Bodog's out. I think all their executives were
for
illegal gambling, trafficking, those people on. But whatever site it was, I think they went from 30-1 to 15-1 to win the Super Bowl, and they had odds on where Manning would land, and they're down to like 1.25-1 or something. It's almost 1-1.
Wow.
So do we think that our opportunity to get Wayne is substantially decreased now?
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you think it's not coming here?
Move on from that idea.
Yeah. I think it's eliminated. I really think it's zero right now because I think, barring a unforeseen circumstance, Wayne's going with Manning somewhere.
They got to do that little pregame thing where they don't talk, they just throw.
Yeah, all right. Well, guys, head nods, I appreciate, as usual, your help.
We appreciate your help.
Thank you for the sub and cookies.
Thanks,
do it again
Olivier.
Sometime.
Thank you, Olivier.
Way, Andy, before you go, did you get the extra white chip cookies I ordered for you or no?
Yes. They were orgasmic today.
They were.
Well
extras.
Done.
I made that comment.
Well done,
I thought they
Olivier.
Were on Tuesday, you said. They were the
Excellent.
Best they'd ever been.
Well, they're always,
now they're the best
they're
they've
always
ever been.
Thanks,
the best
Olivier.
They've ever been.
Olivier buying lunch
that
today?
Cookie is as good as any cookie has ever been.
Mike in Nashville writes in, Courtland Finnegan's character issues are being overblown in my opinion. He's more Rodney Harrison than Albert Haynesworth. On the bounty issue, I'm concerned when the league goes beyond penalizing acts and starts throwing flags or levying fines for the consequences of a play or what's in the player's head when he makes the play.
Right.
That's kind of how I feel about it. Like, even though you're guilty, and I'm not dismissing the guilt here. You know, I think that's what we started arguing about. I think it's every bit as reprehensible as Eric and Fred do. But you're having a hard time convincing me that you know that the guy hurt somebody on purpose, even if he accepted $5,000 for knocking the guy out of the game. To me, it's not the same thing. Knocking a guy out of the game in a cheap shot, to me, are not the same thing.
Sure. Manslaughter and murder.
I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Mike in Charlotte says, do you guys feel comfortable with Vollmer at left tackle protecting Brady's blind side if Light retires?
Not at the moment.
But luckily, I'm mildly comfortable with Solder at left tackle.
It'd be Solder.
Yeah, probably Solder would move over there and Vollmer would stay on the right.
I'd like to see that Vollmer is healthy.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see.
First and foremost.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with Vollmer at right tackle based on the way he finished last year with his back.
I don't think I'm comfortable with Cannon at right tackle.
Well, just because you haven't seen enough of him yet?
No, I've seen enough. I don't really care for him.
No, Andy's a very split-second evaluation when it comes to
Andy
offensive
Hart?
Linemen.
Really? Him?
Yeah, by the way, I watched 10 minutes of American Idol. Girl on there, best they've ever had last night.
Andy puts the
Island
jerk
girl?
And knee jerk.
He had a little bit of an extra take on
he
it.
He did.
It's the little lip coming.
I didn't get to read Kamani's email earlier.
Good.
He said,
Let's move on. He said,
trust me, the Bears are not interested in Manning.
Trust me, we're not interested in your
Seems
email.
To know, have some inside.
I got no problem with Kamani.
Yeah, no, but again, that's the shtick we have going on.
Oh.
We don't do a very good job of explaining ourselves.
You like
think.
His shtick?
No.
I know that they are not interested in
you
him.
Don't
I think
shtick,
that's
right?
a team that should be interested in him. That's a team that might be pretty good if they had excellent quarterback play. I think they have a decent defense. And they have a decent offense. I'm not sold on Jay Cutler being the guy to get you over the top. He can be good, but more often than not, he's inconsistent.
Plus, he's a DB. And might get along well with Michael Floyd.
My God.
Mike in Florida, who's previously bought lunch, wants to just beg me, if I do decide to get alpacas, to have them neutered or gelded,
Why?
As they say. He says there's nothing more humane or important that you can do as a pet owner than spay or neuter them. The long-term health and quality of life is only one aspect. In the U.S. alone, over 5 million homeless cats and dogs are killed every year in shelters
due to
overpopulation, plus the billions that live in utter misery on the streets, constantly pregnant, weak, diseased, and hungry. If all pet owners were responsible, this would be
true.
One less problem in the world.
But using that logic, we should spay and neuter human beings, because there's plenty of human beings that are sick, weak, living on the street in hunger.
Well, the Chinese have their one kid policy.
And I like how it's we are this magnanimous, godly human race to say, it's more humane for me to cut your balls off. Like, we're not God. But we deem ourselves God. We decide for everyone what is right.
We are the master of our domain.
And our alpacas.
Well, he doesn't get that.
I don't.
He doesn't get that.
Should I have?
Well,
Matt, tell me what I should have got there.
All right. Anyway.
Seinfeld episode.
That's going to do.
Stupid.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
I
Thanks
got two
for
minutes
listening.
Left in the show.
Yeah. Why are we leaving early in the off season?
I've got a meeting.
1:58.
My clock says 2:00.
I need to.
My clock says 2:00, and I'm Rain Man. Jeopardy's at 7.
All right. Whopper. So we will. What? We got anything else going on this week? Anything going on at Patriots.com coming up?
It's Friday.
We're doing a
debate Friday.
We'll debate Friday tomorrow.
Peyton Manning might come up.
Okay.
Actually, it's Make Your Case Friday.
And then
Samsonite.
Again, congratulations to Pete Shepard, and we'll see
Screw
you next
you.
Go, Pete.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
Cause
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.